The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, October 6th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, President Trump on Monday returned to the White House after being discharged from Walter Reed National Military Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland, where he was sent on Friday after being diagnosed with COVID-19 and experiencing a fever and was given supplemental oxygen treatments. Earlier on Monday, the president played down the threat of the virus, which has killed 209,000 people in the United States, tweeting, "Feeling really good. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life." Sean Conley, his physician, told reporters that the president will be monitored closely at the White House and that he may not be entirely out of the woods yet. The White House press secretary said in a statement Monday that she tested positive for the novel coronavirus. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden is in the key battleground state of Florida for several events, including a national televised town hall. The scene inside the James S. Brady press briefing room on Monday evening looked more like a hot zone than the site of a White House news conference, as cleaning staff clad head to toe in personal protective equipment sanitized the space against the coronavirus. More than a dozen White House officials tested positive for the coronavirus in recent days, a list that grew on Monday to include the press secretary, who hosts news briefings in the now disinfected Brady Room and recently spoke to reporters without a mask. Two other press aides have reportedly contracted the coronavirus, along with three White House reporters, including New York Times correspondent Michael Shear. The White House Correspondents Association urged its members to stay away from the press room, fearing further virus spread. Elsewhere in the White House, staffers were ramping up safety precautions to prepare for Trump's return. Several officials cleared out ahead of time, wary of the growing case count inside the building. One told the Post that the White House looked like a total ghost town. When Trump arrived, he ascended the stairs, removed his face mask, gave the thumbs up at the assembled news cameras, and then turned and walked inside. As Philadelphia continues to combat the alarming gun violence, 2020 is now the city's deadliest year since 2007, and there are three more months to go. As of Tuesday morning, the city reported at least 364 homicides. That number already surpassed last year's homicide total of 355 and is on pace to eclipse 391, which was in 2007. The police commissioner and members of the executive team will discuss the ongoing violence during a meeting at police headquarters today. At about 1 o'clock yesterday, gunfire erupted in the parking lot of a Lowe's in South Philadelphia. Police say a 21-year-old man was shot 9 times throughout his body and later died at the hospital. Lowe's corporate confirmed that the victim was an employee at the hardware store. The shooting outside of Lowe's came less than 24 hours after a 15-year-old was shot in the head Sunday night. He died at the hospital. Anyone with information about any of the shootings that happened in the city is asked to call police, and the number is 215-686-TIPS. The health department in New Jersey is advising everyone to wear a mask that covers their nose and mouth for Halloween. This is in addition to the mask that would come with a costume. A costume mask does not provide the necessary level of protection. The guidance also strongly encourages, instead of placing treats directly in the bags of trick-or-treaters or having communal bowls, that the treats be arranged in such a way that can be quickly and safely assessed without multiple pieces being touched. However, if you are handing out candy, please limit interaction or contact with trick-or-treaters. The New Jersey Health Department says wear a mask when individuals come to the door and regularly wash your hands.
So like on this level, excuse me, what I figured the best thing to do is I'm going to be dispensing, you know, pre-wrapped candy.
You touch it.
Like I'm not leaving a communal bowl so that it's being touched by multiple people.
Right.
And so it's just me with gloves on doing it that way.
All Halloween activities should be outdoors.
And sneezing like crazy.
And sneezing on all the candy. All Halloween activities should be outdoors, as the biggest threat of the spread is indoors, officials say. Follow the outdoor gathering limitations in effect at the time and design the event to be in long lines rather than in circles to ensure social and physical distancing.
Steve, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I'm going to dispense my candy a lot like how Niedermeyer feeds his horse.
Right,
I'm
going
to put everything in my mouth first. You take it with your mouth, yeah.
Who I do think these contraptions that people are building are cute, though. Like, the
so people are building.
Listen, if that's a fun way to do it,
I know,
you can give a little train. Now, the one thing is that you don't want something that's communally being touched by a whole bunch of people.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Casey's It was Casey's idea first to create contraptions and so on. He's over here kind of going, damn it.
I thought I was the only one thinking of
Wait,
that
Wait, did you
stuff.
Make
no,
one?
There's been, no.
He just had the idea.
He's just
for
an
one.
Idea man. He's not an actual. Like,
the next day, there were news stories about people who were actually creating these things. So, yeah.
Consider having a sign for times or multiple shifts if you are having a Halloween event to minimize crowding. Guidance will soon be released on hayrides and corn mazes. We know that for the communities, Halloween is a real tradition, and we want to make sure that everyone has a chance to enjoy Halloween, but we want everyone to do it safely and responsibly, Governor Murphy said.
A lot of people don't know that about, was it case 15 years ago, you invented an all-electric car called the Tesla?
Yeah, and then somebody.
Yeah, somebody took it. Somebody took it and ran with it.
He just had the idea for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Ball sacks are yummy. The f*** is that?
Last night in Monday Night Football, there were two games. In the first game, the Chiefs improved to 4-0 by beating the New England Patriots 26-10 in Kansas City. In the second game, the Green Bay Packers also improved to 4-0, beating the winless Atlanta Falcons 30-16. In the baseball playoffs, the Houston Astros beat the A's in Oakland, winning 10-5 in Game 1 of the ALDS. In the second game, the New York Yankees beat the Tampa Bay Rays, winning 9-3. Both of those series continue today. The NLDS gets underway as well, with the Miami Marlins playing the Brewers in Atlanta and the San Diego Padres playing the Dodgers in Los Angeles. The NBA Finals continue tonight with Game 4 in Orlando. Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat will look to even up the series with LeBron James and the LA Lakers. Tip-off is set for 9 o'clock. And in hockey news, Matt Niskanen informed the Flyers that he will retire. The team asked him to take some time and think about it. He did, and then stayed with that decision. Shortly after Niskanen informed the team of his impending retirement, the Flyers re-signed defenseman Justin Braun to a two-year contract with an average annual value of $1.8 million. 33-year-old Braun appeared in 62 regular season games and all 16 playoff games in his first season with the Flyers, with 3 goals and 16 assists for 19 points in the regular season. The signing of the veteran defenseman comes a few days after the re-signing of veteran goalie Brian Elliott, who will be on the show later this morning. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Kathy. Yeah, Brian's going to be on around 9:15. We have a few guests that are going to be joining us today, and we're looking forward to speaking to them. We're going to have actor Keith Coogan on. You may not know his name right off the bat, but as soon as I tell you what he's been in, you'll be like, oh, that guy, yeah. So he's played the little brother on a couple of occasions in some really great movies.
A lot,
like,
yeah.
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and also Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah.
And he's in Toy Soldiers, which is a guilty pleasure of mine as well. And he's had a long career of just tons of stuff, tons of TV shows and movies, all kinds of things. He's great.
You know him. You definitely know him.
So we're just kind of, you know, reaching out to people that we have loved characters that they've played throughout the years and just find out what they're all about. So.
And fun fact, and Casey, we were mentioning, talking about this earlier, his grandfather was Jackie Coogan, Uncle Fester.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. Right. All right. Excellent. That's an even cooler level. So we will talk to him around 9 o'clock this morning. Then we also have another actor on. His name is Oakes Fegley. And Oakes is a teen from the area. His brother was on a little while back. What was the show that his brother was on?
It was Timmy Failure. It was a Disney movie that was on Disney Plus. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was a great kid.
Yeah.
In fact, he was busting Casey's balls a little bit.
Just a bit. Yeah.
So his brother, Oakes, is in a movie. And he's co-starring with Robert De Niro.
It's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. So
he's
from
the area. He's from like Allentown.
Yeah, it's called War with Grandpa. So he will. That's coming out on Friday. So we're going to talk to him this morning, which should be pretty cool. Our friends from Dietz and Watson stopping by Real Philly Deli. We'll tell you about that, and we also have Tattoos Day taking place. So if you're interested in some ink, Preston and Steve themed tattoo, then you got to text the word tattoo to 39333 because we will find a winner today. It just might be you. It gets a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. They are at 1729 South Street in Philly. You want to check out their artwork samples, you just visit floatingworldtattoos.com where they have an Instagram account, and it is at Floating World Tattoo. So we have that. We're getting you ready for Rocktober Madness. I'll give you the rundown of the matchups and the winners at some point this morning. Just steer you in that direction because we do need your help in that regard. And we have a few other things taking place as well. Let's break. Come back. Stupid question. The entertainment stories. I have some fairly obscure birthdays today that I think you might find interesting.
I like that.
While we ask you our stupid questions. So we'll come back in a moment. Stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, let's see. We're going to do the stupid question. Steve, I have no doubt you will know the answer to this.
Okay.
It has to do with a horror film. By the way, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Bates Motel, Haunted Attraction. So, perfect. Before it was titled Halloween in 1978, what was the working title of the movie? 215-263-WMMR. What was it called before it was titled Halloween? 215-263-WMMR. That happens a lot in movies, TV shows. In fact, sure. I have a story coming up here in a moment about Stranger Things, which I didn't know had a title before they settled on Stranger Things, which is kind of interesting. So I'll have that coming up. But let's see if you know the answer to that question. Call right now. I'm going to go through some birthdays, some interesting ones in here. We will start with this one. And fans of the TV show The Boys will be happy to know it's Elizabeth Shue's birthday today. And she's great in the show. And she's obviously, we got to know her in The Karate Kid, and we're wondering if maybe she might show up on Cobra Kai in the third season. We'll have
That'd
to wait
be cool.
And see.
Yeah.
There are some rumors and some theories that make sense that she might make it on there.
She's so excellent in The Boys.
Yeah.
And yeah, and her season two was a surprise.
I still have a crush on her.
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at her, especially, we have two pictures in here, current and Karate Kid Elizabeth Shue. All right, what was the blonde surfer chick's name in Summer School? And if you had to pick one.
Wow, I think her name was Sunny.
Yeah.
Is that Courtney Thorne?
Courtney Thorne Smith. Yeah.
And, man, I'd probably go with Courtney Thorne Smith. Right, she's super duper cute, especially in that movie. But, man. Damn. Elizabeth Shue is girl next door, California gorgeous, you
and
know?
And a great actress. And isn't her brother Andrew Shue, the legendary actor?
Yes. I would do that just,
Melrose Place.
Just so I could hang out with Andrew.
Yeah.
And she's in
Where's Adventures. Andrew? Is he in the house now?
Adventures in Babysitting with Keith Coogan.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So we'll have to mention that. It's her birthday today. Yeah, she's the lead character in that movie. Who would you choose?
Okay. I'm glad you asked me this.
You posed
person.
The question.
And it's kind of
Shirley
a double
McClain.
Question. Shirley MacLaine, hands down, right?
Yeah.
Her and Mary Lou Henner. I would go with, if we're talking 1985, I would go with Elizabeth Shue. Today, okay. Probably Courtney Thorne Smith.
Okay. Elizabeth Shue is 57 today. Musician Matthew Sweet.
Yes.
Had a hit with a Girlfriend and Sick of Myself, which is, this is song.
He's sort of a hit writer.
Yeah, great guy.
I mean, old hit writer.
Met him on a couple of occasions. Very, very nice. Saw him perform live. He's great. I wish there was more from him. He is 56 years old today, so happy birthday, Matthew Sweet. Here's one of the offbeat birthdays, Steve, that I thought was interesting. Britt Ekland.
Oh, yeah.
Swedish model actress, ex-wife of Peter Sellers, ex-girlfriend of Rod Stewart, who has a little bit of fame in that. In the song, Tonight's the Night,
yeah.
She's the one that's whispering in French at the end of the song.
That's right, yeah.
And so I did not know that.
She's also a Bond girl in The Man with the Golden Gun.
Is she?
Yeah, she is. She's in a bikini for most of that movie.
She is 78 years old today.
She was one of the first people to sort of, you know, give indicators that Peter Sellers was very tortured. Like Peter Sellers, as a wonderful comedic actor as he was, he had all sorts of issues going on off camera.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 78 today. Tommy Stinson, Replacements, and Guns N' Roses now. He's been with GNR for a long time now.
How many years at this point?
I don't think he is anymore.
Oh, he's not?
No, when they reunited, I don't think it was like he was fired or anything like that. I think that they just had enough main players from, you know, when they started doing the stadium tours.
Right.
Just at the Axl band and the Axl with Guns N' Roses.
No kid.
I'm pretty
about
sure Tommy.
Tom Thompson.
Yeah, he could join them.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, Tommy Stinson is celebrating his 54th birthday today. Steve, time to roll with the changes because it's Kevin Cronin.
Yeah!
Speedwagon's birthday today.
Do not tell me this song doesn't get you up and going.
It does.
Yeah.
Anytime I
every
hear
time.
It. I love it.
I listen to it every week.
Kevin is the lead singer of the band. He also plays piano and guitar. He's a hell of a nice guy. Another guy I've met before who's just he's just super duper sweet. He's a good guy. As soon as you are in. And I love REO Speedwagon. There's some songs. I actually played years ago. I think we were at Cardboard Classic, and I played Casey like some old REO Speedwagon. I'm like, listen to this and tell me who this is. He had no idea. There was a time when
they changed their sound.
When they rocked pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah.
So he is 69 today.
You didn't make it to the third season of Ozark, right? Because REO Speedwagon shows up as REO Speedwagon.
Oh, performing?
Yeah,
They're probably at the Osage Beach contravenue.
There's a casino on a river, and
Doing
a casino in the middle of the Ozarks.
That's funny. Kevin Cronin, but that's par for the course.
Yes.
That's the type of entertainment you would get there for sure. They're a huge Midwest band. He's 69 today. Ellen Travolta.
Uh-huh.
John Travolta's sister, and apparently she played Horshack's mother on Welcome Back, Kotter.
She did.
Never knew that.
Ellen Travolta. So Ellen Travolta and Joey Travolta of the Travolta siblings all went into acting.
She's 81 today. Olivia Thrilby, who is from Juno and Bored to Death. I'll pretend like I know who she is 34. Jeremy Sisto, who was in 6 Feet Under and Law and Order.
Sisto.
Suburgatory and others. He's 46.
Clueless.
Clueless. You got it.
And then the last birthday is a local fella. He is now Danny Briere.
Hey!
Of the Flyers.
That's awesome.
Celebrates his 43rd birthday, and he's put roots down here in Philly, which
is
cool.
I love when they do that.
Oh, he's like Danny. Super nice guy. He's come out of the Camp Out for Hunger. We've talked to him many times over the years. So happy 43rd to you, Mr. Briere. We'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning. Before it was titled Halloween in 1978, what was the movie called? 215-263-WMMR. And to Pam we go. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, it.
You just cracked yourself up, don't you, Pam? All right, good morning, it, Pam. What was the movie called before it was titled Halloween?
Babysitter Murders.
Yeah, yeah. Hang on, Pam. We have got for you a pair of tickets to the Bates Motel and Haunted Attractions. Annual experience terror like never before, located in Glen Mills, PA. Fully open and safe. The Bates Big Friggin' Deal continues this week, by the way, which means that you can get two tickets for the price of one while supplies last. WMMR.com and use the keyword deal to get it. We're going to start with news about Gabrielle Union. She recently settled with NBC after getting ousted as judge on America's Got Talent and shared her concerns over what she saw as a toxic and racist workplace. In a new cover story with Marie Claire, Union opens up about her battle. The 47-year-old told the magazine of her disappointment over the blowback that she received from producers about her appearance. She said, "I should be able to exist however the F I want to exist. Because if you're hiring Gabrielle Union for my talent, then my talent is going to come out of my body in every way, shape, and incarnation that I can imagine. You're getting more bang for your buck the more you allow me to exist as I see fit."
Did she specify what they wanted changed about her?
I don't know. I think that's maybe part of the settlement deal that this was all kept kind of private, I'm assuming. So anyhow, she said she was upset but not surprised when other NBC black talent like Al Roker and Terry Crews failed to publicly support her. She said these racist institutions and systems have done an amazing job at keeping us very fearful of speaking up, asking for equality and asking for accountability because they've shown us time and time again that we are disposable. They will discredit and malign you, and you will never work again. Being blackballed in the industry is very real. She also addressed critics who said that she was taking your accusations too far. She said, "You are not going to gaslight me into minimizing my trauma, which is exactly what allows this to continue on for the next person." An undisclosed settlement was reached last month between Union and NBC. They stated at the time, NBC said they appreciate the important concerns raised by Gabrielle Union and remains committed to ensuring an inclusive and supportive working environment where people of all backgrounds can be treated with respect.
Do you get the feeling they have a bin full of those responses and they just put a name in it? They're always framed the same way. My guess is a lot of it had to do with the way Simon Cowell was treating her.
Maybe.
Because the word is he can be a real bastard to work with. Yeah. And that was it.
Quite possible. She may have complained and they were like, well, Simon's being Simon, you know.
Right.
So, but she wasn't standing for it. Nicole Kidman, this is interesting, opening up about her marriage to Tom Cruise in a new interview with the New York Times. She usually keeps things pretty quiet about that.
You never hear anything about Tom Cruise.
She admitted
he was short.
Largely been veiled in secrecy since a split in 2001. She said, now, I think these numbers are incorrect here, by the way. It says, Kidman said that she and the 58-year-old were happily married when they were filming the 1999 drama Eyes Wide Shut. In it, she said the 53-year-old and... Well, I guess she's 53 now. Okay. In it, the 53-year-old and Cruise played a married couple grappling with infidelity. Asked if working on the film brought up any negative feelings about her relationship with Cruise, Kidman said, actually, we would go go-kart racing after those scenes. She said, we'd rent out a place and go racing at 3 in the morning. I don't know what else to say. Maybe I don't have the ability to look back and dissect it, or I'm not willing to. So apparently, they were having fun.
She said at that point, the marriage was strong and they were happily married and everything was cool. So I guess what they were trying to ask was, is bearing all this stuff open in front of the camera bringing up stuff that perhaps they didn't want to deal with? She was saying, yeah, and I read the interview. It was like, wow, that was... So I guess everything was hunky-dory at that.
Yeah.
You don't go-kart racing with someone you don't like.
And listen, they're actors. It's what they do for a living. They're just, you know, they're playing a part. So,
what'd you think of the movie? Did you ever see the movie?
I didn't care for it. I mean, there's some great tense moments that I thought were really cool.
I'm a massive Kubrick fan, and even I am like...
But it got a little... Some of it got drawn out.
Yeah.
And I know that's his tone, is to take time and use... pauses and so forth to create drama, but
I should probably go back and watch it because I just remember boobs. That's it.
It could have been more. I don't know.
It's good. I just don't. I don't find it. Like I don't. I've seen it twice, and that's it. And compare that to 2001, which I've probably seen 150 times.
She also weighed in on what it was like working with Stanley Kubrick, of course, who died at 70 shortly after the filming was complete. She said, "We loved working with him. We shot that for 2 years." I said we had two kids and we were living in a trailer on the lot, primarily making spaghetti because Stanley liked to eat with us sometimes. We were working with the greatest filmmaker and learning about our lives and enjoying our lives on the set.
We were just talking with Matthew Modine, who revealed, because you'd always think of this monolithic Stanley Kubrick with, okay, you don't go near this guy. Don't screw up the process. He's a genius. And it couldn't be further from the truth. He loved to hang out with the cast, which is very cool.
She and Tom share Connor, who is 25. Excuse me, and Isabella, who's 27, she and Cruz are very circumspect about their children. Asked about her relationship with her oldest children by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association in November 2018, she said, I'm very private about all that. She just kind of keeps it closed.
I wonder what the arrangement is. I wonder who, you know, because Cruz... Because also part of the deal, some of the deal that we've heard about with Leah Remini and the HBO special on Scientology... people are turned against people a lot of times.
They're 25 and 27, so they're adults. I mean, they can, but I don't know if they're in the church. I have no idea.
I think they are.
Kidman shares two daughters, by the way, with her husband, Keith Urban. They have Faith, who is 9, and Sunday, who is 12. Bradley Cooper, our buddy, speaking to his fellow Pennsylvanians, urging them to vote in the presidential election. I watched this campaign video yesterday. It's called Now This News. The 45-year-old said, if you skip the first step and just use the return envelope, your ballot will be considered a naked ballot, he said of the potentially disqualified submission. Cooper added, of another reminder, one of the most common mistakes people make is not signing their mail-in ballot. So in it, it's a short video, and he just tells you the different
how to
ways
do it
that you can vote.
Oh.
And
does he do it as Rocket or himself?
No, he does it. He's not a raccoon. He's just Bradley.
I think a really good way to get that message out would be for him to come on our show and promote it that way.
Well, I told Casey, and
I reached out to his old buddy Groot, and
here's the problem.
Did Groot have a response?
I am Groot.
People need to know the relationship, and I know that he feels he calls upon us a little too much.
Yeah. Right,
and he doesn't want to overstep the bounds.
Okay.
And we get it, but I wish he felt, listen, we love having him on. We'll make room for him. I mean, you know, we can clear a schedule.
Yeah, we can work it out.
You'll go on right after the guy from Adventures in Babysitting.
But you're going to have to wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. On hold for a little bit.
Yep. Because we've got three interviews in a row today.
I don't know if you can fit them right in.
Let's see. How about this? In his new book, Is This Anything?, Jerry Seinfeld reveals that writing his hit sitcom, Seinfeld, of course, could be dreary. I said, even in the early years of Seinfeld, I had difficulty focusing on the story aspects of the show. He said, I would only perk up when Larry David and I got to writing the dialogue and we needed funny lines for the characters to say.
I could see that. If you're, yeah. you're trying to generate, and they wrote a lot of that stuff, obviously.
Well, yeah, it's work. I mean, yeah. listen, it's going to be hard, and sometimes you're going to be critical and not happy with what you've written so far, and upset.
Sometimes your father will find out you were in his architecture office there in the house,
have to call you
yeah,
in,
yeah, call you in,
sit
and have
you
to
down.
Talk to you.
Yeah. Now, Jerry,
you broke the vase.
Let's see here. Here's a follow up story from yesterday. After Jessica Alba revealed that she was asked to not make eye contact when she guest starred on Beverly Hills 90210. Series alums Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling say it simply isn't true. On their podcast, which I actually like the name of it, it's 9021 OMG.
Yes.
Garth recalls that she had scenes with Alba. She said, like, if anybody was, you know, didn't want to have their eyes looked into, it would have been me. She said, but I don't remember because I have the world's worst memory. She then wondered if there was some kind of memo that was going around from the producers. Or
that's
the
probably it.
ADs that we didn't even know about. That's what I was
we
saying
talked about
yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Garth added, I only have from the vague memories I have of working with her. I only remember her being super talented. She was very young. She was really sweet. And it does not surprise me that she's gone on to be so successful.
You remember when we first got here, as we'd walk down the halls, people would kneel down and bow their heads. And we said, what is this about? And then we realized that Bill had put a memo out.
Yeah.
And we said, we don't need that.
I was wondering why I was always walking on rose petals.
Yeah,
I was like, this.
We don't need this. It's
too much.
We're just regular folk.
You could just use daisy petals. Yeah. Like, I don't. Need rose petals. Yeah.
No more rose petals. Don't bow. It makes them upset.
Taraji P. Henson is working on a new project focused on mental health. The 50-year-old Empire star is hosting a new Facebook Watch talk show.
With Gary Busey.
What's Facebook Watch?
It's probably like Red Table Talk Live, right? The same sort of thing?
Yeah, the same thing that Jada Pinkett Smith is
on,
right?
Yeah, right?
I think so.
It's called Facebook Watch, so I don't know.
Maybe it's a timepiece.
Like a watch party. You can start... Right? Like you can, people can join you and watch.
Let's go with that.
Yes, I like that.
Sounds best.
I think it's Groot.
Anyhow, it's called Peace of Mind with Taraji. Production will begin later this year. She will co-host with her longtime best friend, Tracy Jade Jenkins. The show will, quote, shine a spotlight on the challenging mental health issues facing us today, particularly of those in the Black community, according to the press release.
That sounds good.
The show is part of Facebook's push to support World Mental Health Day, which is this Saturday. In 2018, Henson had founded the Boris Lawrence Foundation in honor of her father, who struggled with issues following his time serving in the Vietnam War. She had said, I'd long been a mental health advocate for the Black community and creator of the Boris Lawrence Henson Foundation. 2018 has provided resources to thousands of people who are struggling.
Is her dad still alive?
I don't know that. She said, I'm looking forward to bringing this new talk series to Facebook Watch, where I continue to create conversation around an issue that is near and dear to my heart. Millie Bobby Brown got her big break at around the age of 12 for her portrayal of 11 in Stranger Things. But before that, she almost quit acting altogether. As the show returns to shooting for the fourth season, which, of course, highly anticipated, she sat down for an interview with Jimmy Fallon and revealed her failed audition for Game of Thrones.
Apparently, everyone
almost convinced her to call it quits.
Right. Everyone, anyone, Preston, who had a British accent was attempting to get on Game of Thrones. It was the hot ticket.
Yeah. And the cast was huge.
Yes.
So she said, I was just very disheartened by the rejection. She said, you get a lot of no's before a yes. I was auditioning for commercials, for anything, really. And then I auditioned for Game of Thrones. And I got a no for that, and then that's kind of when I was like, okay, this is really difficult. I guess I really wanted that role. She explains that the audition that marked one of her last goes at this at all was Stranger Things, which was originally titled Montauk.
Yeah.
During the early days of production.
Is that wild?
Yeah.
Well, they always do that. They'll put a different, or a lot of times they'll put a different name on the on the script just to throw people off.
2 months later, she said they got back to us and were like, hey, we'd love to Skype with you. Montauk was definitely the one that gave me hope of doing it all again. So she was kind of in that last, she was thinking about hanging it up.
Did she, I'm sorry if you said this and I missed it, but did she indicate what part she was auditioning for in Game of Thrones?
She was auditioning for Lyanna Mormont, which was one of my favorite characters. She was only in a couple of episodes, but she was a little kid who was the head of a house or,
very eloquent, right?
Yeah, she was excellent.
She was a badass.
She was awesome. Yeah. She had a very little part, but man, did she make use of it and stood out quite a bit. In fact, I have a shirt that I bought that says Lyanna effing Mormont on it with the house sigil. So I'm a total nerd about that. So, she would have been good in that, but the gal who ended up playing it was perfect. Eva Longoria was psyched to appear in Overboard with her friend Anna Faris, but it almost didn't happen.
It shouldn't have happened.
It didn't need to happen.
Did anybody watch it? I did. It's not good. If it had existed, it would have been like, If the first one was, this is nice. The problem is the first one does exist.
Yeah. I love
and it has
one.
The perfect cast for it.
Because I didn't watch it. I refused to watch it because there's no need for it. And I love the first Overboard. I have a question because in the first Overboard, one of the sons talked like Pee Wee Herman. And that was a great character quirk. Did they have one of
They opted out of the Pee Wee Herman reference.
But was it something similar?
The kids were quirky, as you would imagine. The problem was that they reversed. Anna Faris became Kurt Russell, and this other actor became
gender
Goldie Hawn,
which is interesting. But one of my favorites from it's a really quick throwaway line from the original movie when the kids, and they're really bratty kids if you've never seen the movie, the oldest one meets a girl. It's a real short thing, and he's walking away with a girl, and one of the other kids goes, "Hey, Trav, don't knock her up."
Yes.
You know what it also misses?
I love it.
Roddy McDowell is the butler.
He was great.
There's that great scene where she comes back after having been with Kurt Russell, and she opens the beer by slapping it against it. And they're looking at her like, what? Yeah. And she apologizes to him, and it was great.
Yeah, it's a good movie. So, anyhow, Eva Longoria was psyched that
she should apologize to
me in that. But it almost didn't happen. As you said, it shouldn't have happened. On Anna Faris is Unqualified, Longoria said, "I had to fight for this role. I had to meet with the writers and directors like 5,000 times, and I was like, I have to be in a movie with Anna Faris. You don't understand. This is like a dream of mine, and you're blocking me from my dreams."
I love Anna Faris.
Yeah. I do, too.
But I just, there was no need for this.
You didn't love this.
I did not love this.
I watched the remake of Footloose, which I happened upon it by mistake.
Right.
But I stuck in for the whole thing. It sucked, man. It's unnecessary. I don't, and the dancing wasn't even that great. You would expect 30 years later that it's, the dance moves and all that would be just, and it wasn't. It really was not. They even redid, the angry dancing.
I know. I saw it. I saw the remake, yeah. They're just.
Yeah, but I wouldn't expect the dancing to be amazing because here's a town where you're not allowed to dance and all of a sudden you've got Broadway-level dancers.
That was the problem with the first one.
Yeah.
These pent-up kids suddenly in highly choreographed numbers take to the dance floor at the end. So we give them that because we enjoy it. For me, Footloose really lives with the other stuff.
I should say that the new Ren, he wasn't like this amazing dancer.
But he is a professional dancer.
Yeah, we had him in here.
He is a professional. He was in here doing stuff. He did like the faux levitation. Remember that?
Yeah, it was really cool, actually.
I would have liked to have seen like Turbo, from Breakin'. I would have liked to have seen him in it.
Turbo from Breakin'? I didn't see Breakin'.
I never saw. I used to watch
all those. It's all the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a couple of crews, dance crews.
Yeah.
And my wife will come in and she'll just like go, "Oh my God, you watching another one of these?" And there's some corporate entity that's going to tear down the community center.
Yeah.
To put up a high rise condo. And right.
Yeah.
What was the one where there was a mystery dancer who was amazing, but it was a girl dressed as a guy? You know what I mean?
Oh, I didn't see that one.
It was like disguised, and it turns out it was a girl, and nobody suspected
it. I think it was called No You Didn't.
Oh,
was the name of that.
Two. Somebody's going to have to tell
me
what
that was. It was No You Didn't, Two, Maybe You Did.
Was it... I can't remember the name.
Not Stomp the Yard.
No. It was way before that.
Oh, way before that? Okay.
Yeah.
Give it a second. It'll show up on the text board. Our listeners will let us know. Because I don't know what you're talking about. What era did it come out?
This is the 80s.
Any idea who was in it?
It was when... No.
Every
no.
one of them was an era.
It was when, you know, breakdancing hit.
Okay.
And everybody was all about it.
Okay. Like, Jenna Dewan and Channing Tatum are in that one. And they're all... they all have that same vibe.
Yeah. It's like, you know? Crush Groove is coming to mind.
Crush Groove.
That could have been it.
Yeah.
I never saw one. That.
I'm not sure. Anyway, let the test.
We should set up a crew. A dance crew.
Kathy.
With a K?
I mean, I'm in.
Preston, we show up like in some alleyway. Group. Like there's some like the Bloods, like the Crips are there in an alleyway, and we show up. Hey.
Do 1-8 count and leave.
Nick, pull up text messages.
All right. We got nothing yet.
You think you're bad?
Shut up.
You think you're beat it?
All right,
we're radio broadcasters, and we can dance.
I'm so in.
I thought you were a singer.
No, she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God!
I thought this was a dance off.
That's two blocks over.
I thought this was a freestyle rap off. I even wore my pretty clothes.
Is that the name of the movie? I thought she was a singer.
Okay. All right. Well, we may never know. The world may never know.
they've got like meth and keys of coke, and they just look up like, what?
Five,
what
is that guy doing? 5-6-7-8
5-6-7-8
That is a funny movie premise. I can't even.
Murph could do it. Yeah. Murph could make a short film on that. That'd be great.
I thought we'd have to dance off. Like, I'd be like this, pressing your back, and Casey be down low like you. And Kathy would be, you know, you got to have all the bandanas on.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Yeah, we're ready.
5-6-7-8
No, I'm in full sequin uniform.
Get it, Uber! Get it, Uber!
By the way, just one of the guys is not the movie we were talking about. Not even close. Not even in the ballpark. But people are saying maybe Breaking 2. Was that Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But
that's not that. Don't worry about it.
Anyway.
I'll get over it. I'll live.
One of these days, we'll have to have, I'll host it. Back-to-back of those movies because they're so bad, I love them.
I was bummed out to see this morning. Denis Villeneuve's upcoming Dune remake has been delayed and will now be released October 1st, 2021. I was so looking forward to seeing it in December, but it's not going to happen.
It's
originally scheduled for December 18th.
Yeah, I mean, they want to make sure they're going to be able to have some, I mean... You want to make sure theaters are at least open up to some level with a budget like that. You can't.
Yeah.
Financially,
it doesn't make sense for the studio. They paid so much for it. They got to make bank on it.
The problem is, Preston, they think they're bad, but they ain't nothing.
They ain't nothing. The delay is likely to separate Dune from the recently delayed Wonder Woman 1984, as the two would have premiered just a week apart from each other.
Did you hear the other excruciating news?
Uh-uh.
That the Batman might
Yes, I did hear that. Yeah, the tentative release October 1st, 2021, and so expect that to shift later as well. So they're pushing that back. Yep. By the way, speaking of bad... The song.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
We should go and analyze the first part, the non-musical part where he comes back to town and is hanging out with his old friends and then they're kind of giving him a hard time.
Let me ask you something. What exactly are you wearing?
Yeah. Yeah. Because Weird Al spoofed it perfectly.
He did, yeah.
Is that what they teach you up in that sissy school?
But I'm back and I'm bad.
I forgot.
I'm gonna F you up.
Yeah.
I forgot about the movie before the song. Okay, yeah. So he's at some boys' school.
He goes, he has some formal education. He comes back to his neighborhood, and apparently it was a rougher area, and they're essentially giving him a hard time because he's gotten all soft.
I got to return home and show him I still got my chops, that I can still do a rim job. I don't think
know what that is. No. I don't think you're using that right.
What?
What?
Right, so he wasn't fully accepted in the school either, right? Because he was a street kid?
He was kind of in between.
Oh,
yeah.
That's poor guy.
Yeah, I know. But he was bad.
Yeah.
Incredibly bad.
And then, and he had a white leather outfit with all kinds of jingly things on it. Or was it black? I'm sorry,
black.
It was black.
Yeah.
The thing you don't understand about me is that I'm always mad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're like the Hulk.
I'm like the Hulk.
Yeah. That's your secret.
It's my secret. It's the harder part is keeping the beast within.
Mm.
Sure.
We're watching the video right now. Oh, my God. Yeah, they look tough.
God damn, that was a great fight. Who's up for visiting the daycare center?
What is this?
It's just him walking with all his jingly jangly. He's got spurs.
I got spurs. That jingle, jangle, jingle.
It's supposed to have spurs in it, but I don't hear anything.
Yeah, I didn't hear that either. Off.
I didn't have them glued on properly.
I got spurs. That jingle, jangle, jingles. As I go riding merrily, I go riding merrily.
Sing, oh, ain't you glad?
Who's bad?
So bad.
Mm. All right, anyway.
I mean, yes. I am so bad that I'm going to meet you in a parking garage, and I'm going to dance your face
off. It's not a parking garage. It's a subway station.
Oh, I guess you're right.
That's why they have turnstiles.
Let's be clear on this. One last story. Netflix has dropped the first look at Henry Cavill as Geralt of Rivia in the second season of The Witcher.
I watched a few episodes of the first season. I liked it. I think I want to go back to it.
The show is currently in production in the UK, and Netflix said in a tweet accompanying some stills, it said, "New armor, same Witcher." The season two logline is, convinced Yennefer's life was lost at the Battle of Sodden.
Where's Yennefer?
Geralt of Rivia brings Princess Cirilla to the safest place he knows, his childhood home of Kaer Morhen.
Ma! I want some meatloaf! Hell, you're such an annoying witcher.
I used to follow Henry Cavill on Instagram, but I stopped because he made me feel bad about myself because he would post like these workout videos.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, oh, no, that's just why. Yeah. I'm never going to be that. I don't want to feel like that.
I did the same thing with Chris Hemsworth.
Did you?
Stop it.
Like, I have to stop.
I can't you are watch man. Any more videos of you working out.
I am not.
Uh-huh. I just bent a tire iron with my penis.
Let's do the clips. L.A.'s Finest is a spinoff show based on the Bad Boys film series. It follows a female DEA agent now working with the LAPD. And in this clip, Jessica Alba discusses this role being a dream gig. Here we go.
When I read the script, it was the role that I always wanted to play. I love action. I've always loved action. And I love comedy. And I'm a huge fan of Die Hard and Bad Boys and Lethal Weapon and Beverly Hills Cops. And I like... always wanted to be not the girl in any of those movies. I wanted to be the dudes. Like, I wanted to have fun. But in those action genres, the women need to be saved.
Thing sucks!
LA's Finest airs Monday nights at 8, and that is on Fox.
What was the first series we saw? It was called Dark Angel, where she was sort of like a hybrid, kind of like Alita.
Was that before Honey?
Yeah, it was before Honey.
Okay.
It was her. She had a TV series. It's the first time we saw her.
The first thing I remember her in was in Never Been Kissed. She was one of the popular girls.
Yes.
And I'm like, wow, that girl's pretty attractive. And
yeah.
And sure enough, she started popping up in other stuff. So, but she continues to kick some ass. LA's Finest airs Monday nights at 8 on
I'm
Fox.
I'm bad.
Yeah, was it Dark Angel?
Dark Angel?
And that was out in... I hope Michael hangs out.
I hang for a little bit. I got nothing. I got nobody to do.
2000.
It's my spurs.
When that came out in 2000.
Yeah, 2000 and 2002.
Uh-oh.
And James Cameron was a creator on that.
That's
it?
Right.
Yeah. Really? I want to say the first thing.
You remember we had a poster Preston at Y100? Life size?
She was in Camp Nowhere. That was her very first credit.
Hmm. Camp Nowhere. Right. I don't remember.
She was also in that movie with Paul Walker.
What movie?
Is it about surfers and stuff?
Nah. Blue.
Yeah.
No.
Blue Waffle.
Blue Waffle.
My blue waffle.
Welcome to the island. Have you had the blue waffle?
You're thinking of Blue Crush, and yeah, that was not. That, no, that was not. No, that was.
She was in Into the Blue with Paul Walker, which is.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
There you go.
Deep Trouble with the Drug Lord.
She came into the station to promote it.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that was nice.
We met her in person.
She came in to promote Honey.
Okay. Yes. She was in to promote something.
Yeah,
she
we met her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the gal that was in Blue Crush, the blonde?
Kate Bosworth.
Kate Bosworth.
Kate Bosworth. Yeah. Brian Bosworth.
Next clip.
Oh, he's a football player.
Word association at this point.
Yeah. Come on.
Brian Posehn.
Dead Ink Blot's a butterfly. Dead Ink Blot is a construction worker.
The Boys follows a group of vigilantes looking to take down a group of supposed superheroes.
I'm sorry, what's the name of that show?
By a villainous corporation. And in this clip, Aaron Moriarty peels back the curtain on how they create Starlight's powers. Here we go.
It's a whole contraption, basically, that I'm wearing underneath my clothes where there will be something and it will be like, it's like a little box on my back, and they'll wire like a wire through my entire. So I have to be wearing, or ideally I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt. And then, so little do you know, I'm basically feeling like a robot.
Yeah! The season 2 finale of The Boys begins streaming on Amazon Prime Video this Friday.
I'm
very bummed out that it's coming to an end for the season.
Did you know Marissa watches it?
We were going to a commercial, we were about ready to turn the mics on. She came in and she started chit-chatting with
like
you guys.
Like excited.
And I'm like, when did you, you didn't tell us. We have morning discussions about this show off air.
I was never invited into the boys' club.
That is
well,
not
now
true.
You are. Now you are.
We just never knew.
We want more people to talk to about this show.
We want you to join our dance group, our crew.
Yeah.
It's really good. I like all the like offbeat, like Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy, like the little like offbeat superhero stuff.
Yeah, this is as offbeat as you can get.
We always thought that you weren't bad, you weren't nothing.
Now you're something. We're going to call you Little Squirt.
You're in the club, Little Squirt.
All right, when's the next conversation?
We're taking a break now. How about that?
Fine, then.
We can talk about it now. All right, there you go. Entertainment Report. That's it for you. Our friends from, he's leaving.
I'm back.
See you, Michael.
Now. Sorry. Diaper change time.
Our friends from Deeds and Watson.
God, this is uncomfortable.
Your local Deeds and Watson Real Philly delis like Al's Corner Deli in the Northeast and 3J Market in Fishtown and Northern Liberties are open for takeout. Just a reminder.
You're wonderful, family owned and operated.
I thought you left.
I heard about two of my favorite eateries. I had to return.
You gotta go. See you later.
You can taste four generations of family recipes made with love.
It's about family.
Made with love and show your support for local businesses. RealPhillyDeli.com.
Just standing at the door.
It's about family.
What?
Let me come back in. Those are my spurs. I said it's about family.
Thanks.
Family owned and operated. Okay. We support small business.
Thanks, Al.
And Deets and Watson.
Al's Corner Deli and 3J's Market. All right, we're going to take a break. We have a bunch of guests on the show. We got stuff to do. We'll tell you about it when we get back.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Tala. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots. Tala. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I have some stories I want to go through. Before that, I want to say good morning to Beverly Goldberg. Adam Goldberg's mom listens to our show. And, of course, the show, The Goldbergs. What?
She's going to be on tomorrow.
Is she going to be on tomorrow?
She's going to be on tomorrow.
Excellent. There was a tweet that went out, and we had put, Marissa had posted, what fall activity did you do this weekend? And Beverly Goldberg, who is depicted on that show, wrote, watch Netflix again and again. And then her son, Adam, responded, I love how my mom is a Preston and Steve fan.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's great.
So Marissa reached out to Bev.
Yay.
The real Bev, yesterday, and she's going to give us a call tomorrow.
Excellent.
She's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so hi, Bev.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
We love you. We love your son.
Her website is shrimpparmchef.com.
Oh, that's great.
That's so funny.
That's excellent.
The notion of, if you were to just tell me casually about shrimp parm, I would have vomited. However, on the way it's depicted on the show and her loving... making of it for family members, I'm like, I think I need to try shrimp parm.
What is shrimp parm?
It's one of her go-to meals that the family loves.
Like
so
chicken parm?
But
shrimp instead?
I don't know, because I make shrimp scampi and I add some parm to it.
So do you?
Pretty tasty, yeah.
Apparently it's one of her absolute specialties.
We're going to get that secret out of her tomorrow.
It's her birthday this week, too. She's born on October 8th, so on Thursday it's her birthday.
That's a special week.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool. All right, I got some stories in the junk.
Yay!
I'll never get to them if I don't get to them this way. But I want to do that now. We'll start with this one. A rare 102-carat white diamond has sold at auction for $15.7 million, but experts are calling it a bargain price for that.
$15 million was a steal?
Yes.
What you say a white diamond, that's just a regular diamond, right?
Yes, 102 carat white diamond, and it's flawless.
Oh,
apparently,
wow.
Apparently, Kathy.
When they say flawless, obviously nothing is perfect, but as close to flawless as you can get, correct?
I don't know.
What percentage puts it into flawless?
Good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. But when you go, have you ever been to look through the jewelers?
Absolutely. Yeah.
The jewelers.
That's how I look at my neighbors.
and everything. You know, there are little bubbles. There are little
so you wouldn't be able
specks
to,
and
you,
things like that.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to see any of that.
To the naked eye.
Right. No, with that. So you wouldn't be able to see anything under 10 times it being
magnification.
Magnified.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And that qualifies as flawless. Well, it's a spectacular looking diamond.
Well, how big is 102 carats?
You know what? There's a picture of somebody holding it,
think. It's okay. The size of an award winning pumpkin.
It's pretty damn big, Case. It's like, I want to say, it's not like egg size. It's smaller than that. But the gemstone went to an unnamed telephone bidder. The auction was held online by Sotheby's in Hong Kong. The diamond was taken from a 271-carat stone.
Jesus.
Whoa. Which was discovered at a Canadian mine in 2018.
In the Arctic?
Up near it, yeah, Nick. Yeah. And apparently that's a hotbed for big diamonds. Canada has a... I did not know that Canada was really...
Well,
you know the issue there.
Rich with gems in that way.
Those caves are defended by Yeti.
Okay.
And that's why it makes it so difficult to mine them.
People liked buying the Canadian diamonds because they were less conflict inspired, you know, like a lot of the African diamonds.
Canadians are just more pleasant.
Yeah, but, but people were buying them because they were from Canada instead of places in Africa. Kathy, do you know what the four C's of diamond shopping are?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Cut, clarity, and...
You can't say the first one.
Color.
Yeah.
And the last one?
Cut, clarity, color...
Carat. I'm sorry, why am I...
Yeah. It's okay.
Damn it. I'm sorry, you don't win the year supply of turtle wax.
Only seven other diamonds larger than 100 carats and of the same quality have gone under the hammer. The stone did not have a reserve price, a minimum price that the seller is willing to accept for an item. That's why it got taken as pretty much a bargain, they're saying. If they would have had a reserve price, then it would have started at a certain level.
To understand the machinations here, if they set a price and if someone met it immediately, they got it for that?
No. Just a minimum where the bidding starts.
All right.
So this person, you know, they just said, all right, what's our opening bid? You know, essentially.
All right, I'll take it.
It is the first time in history that a diamond has sold at auction this way.
Huh.
They said it was flawless and difficult to overstate its rarity and beauty.
Did you watch Uncut Gems yet?
No.
Okay, because there is an auction.
You saw Billy Madison.
It's
Sandler's in both.
Well, he's in both of them, but they're not
alike at all.
But there is an auction scene. The whole movie is, I think, if you suffer from anxiety, don't watch it.
Because,
the whole movie is just anxiety-ridden. Did you watch it yet, Steve?
I watched a lot of it, yes.
Okay.
I actually found it a little hard to endure.
I felt like the payoff was actually pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
In that whole world, I mean, have you guys ever seen The Hope Diamond at the Smithsonian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's such an amazing thing, but after the point at which you get to The Hope Diamond, it's like,
Okay.
Yeah, let's saw it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
The buying and selling of diamonds is pretty fascinating. I mean, it was really controlled by a monopoly for a really long time. And De Beers had a really worldwide influence. And then mines like these ones in Canada started showing up. And so some of the dominance of one company has faded over the years. But they're not nearly as rare as everybody thinks they are. You know,
they're not.
Sapphires are much more rare. And other stones are more rare, but diamonds are diamonds, and so therefore they have this value.
Are the Canadian mines yielding? Are they competitive now with the African mines?
I'll give you the info on that. Yeah. Canada, among the world's major diamond producers, is no stranger to big gems, even though large-scale mining for the stones only began there in the 1990s.
Isn't that amazing?
So they're kind of just getting started.
Well, that's where we need to go. Forget panning for gold, Preston. Let's take our mining activities north.
2 years ago, the Dominion Diamond Mines Company announced the discovery of a 552-carat yellow gemstone, a North American record, at its site in the Northwest Territories. It's just 135 miles south of the Arctic Circle.
Well, it sounds like you're tripping over them up there.
The previous record holding diamond was found at the same mine in 2015. That stone, named the Foxfire, a 2 billion year old 187.7 carat diamond, was displayed around the world, including for a few weeks at Kensington Palace in London. Canadian diamonds, often found in the remote northern reaches of the country, have a reputation for being conflict-free and more sustainably sourced than stones from other nations.
They always have some sort of, like, Foxfire or the Emerald of the Nile.
Yeah, I
think
love that.
If we find one, we name it Pud.
Pud.
Mm-hmm. Is that the Pud Diamond?
The Pud Diamond. Yeah. Force people to say the word Pud.
At auction.
Yeah.
Up for bid, the 14-carat Pud Diamond.
I would love that.
Did you say Pud? I'm fascinated by it. I have no understanding of it. Steven Singer attempted to give me sort of a course, and he actually broke it down nicely, but it's more than I can comprehend.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit
kind of want to head up to Northern Canada now, just for a
You should.
Fly fishing vacation or something.
With a lot of pickaxes and dynamite.
All right, let me see what else I have here. Drones are used for a variety of tasks, of course, but get ready to add one more to the list, human organ transit.
Come on.
Researchers at Mission Go, a provider of unmanned aviation solutions, and the Nevada Donor Network, an organ procurement organization, announced last week two successful test flights carrying a human organ and tissue via drones in Las Vegas.
Stop and think about that, though, where you'd have to wait for a commercial flight. Or, or at least a chartered flight.
Or a helicopter.
Yeah, or helicopter. You could send this much quicker.
Yeah, I don't think they're ready to send. They don't have the drones that can go that distance. But for just across town, they can do this. So the first.
Well, why not just use like Uber Eats or something?
Flight on.
I brought your kidney.
Yeah. You got some wonton and a kidney.
The first flight on September 17th transported research corneas.
Got two flatbreads and a kidney.
One hospital to another about 2.5 miles away. On the same day, a second flight delivered research kidneys 10 miles from an airport to a location outside a small town in the Vegas desert.
Yeah, I got a wonton, I got a flatbread, and a heart.
It marked the longest organ delivery flight in drone history, surpassing the distance of a historic April 2019 flight when staff now with the Mission Go team transported a kidney from the Living Legacy Foundation in West Baltimore
to the
University of Maryland Medical Center downtown.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
See the driver dipping into the way they dip into your food. They're dipping into your organs.
Nearly 100,000 Americans are on the waiting list for a kidney transplant, and about 12 people die each day.
So this
according
could
to the National Kidney Foundation.
This could expedite that.
Well, here's the deal. Drones could shorten transportation time, which decreases the time an organ is outside of the body and improves chances of function after transplant. Hours of traffic in a metropolitan area could be reduced to minutes via drone.
I don't know if they break this down, but obviously we've seen in like an airplane and other movies where they're transporting organs, they put them in a cooler. What's the longest, say, an organ like the heart can stay out of a body and still be viable for transplant?
That's a good question. By the way, unmanned aircraft, and this is something you may not consider, not only can save the lives of recipients, but also surgeons who have apparently died in plane or helicopter crashes.
That's true.
On their way to retrieve an organ. There were some limitations to the recent Las Vegas test drone. The aircraft could only hold about 22 pounds, limiting the amount of ice that the team would need and usually pack for a commercial flight because they put a lot of ice on those.
It looks like the heart is 6 hours. Other organs like pancreas and liver are 12. A kidney is less than 30 hours.
Researchers are
exploring wild.
Larger aircraft to transport heavier cargo to include more ice, multiple organs, and medical devices for organ preservation.
Have you ever seen the ritual that they do when someone is an organ donor and they've passed? And you've seen this? Okay.
No.
What do they do?
They'll take the person and I've seen like medical personnel line up on each side of the hallway as the person who is, you know, turn their organs over for organ donation.
When they're getting ready to harvest or after?
Yes.
Okay.
Almost like an honor, a celebration.
Right.
I think it's the most beautiful thing you could possibly see because it's going to extend other people's lives. And I just recently saw a couple of videos. I'm like, what's going on there? But it's an amazing thing.
I wonder if that happens. I wonder if there's a couple of places that do that or if that's kind of
standard
procedure around the country.
Yeah, I just recently became aware of it.
Well, while we're talking about this, I'd love to give a plug.
Yes.
My friend Trevor DeHaas, he's from Phoenixville, and he's been on a waiting list for about a year, maybe longer at this point. His Instagram is Trevor DeHaas, DeHaas. If you want more information, you can email me. It's just nick@wmmr.com. But he's been waiting for a long time, Steve, and the match program is difficult.
It is.
What's that?
Waiting for what?
A kidney. Yes, he will die without a kidney transplant at some point. So he needs it, and if you need more information, email me, and I'll happily pass it along to you.
Have you ever seen the footage of someone who has received a heart from someone who has passed, and the family of the person who passed and donated the heart gets to hear the heart living in someone else? It's unbelievable.
There was one. There was a video that recently made its rounds on Twitter of a gentleman who had some type of a donor replacement. I don't know if it was a kidney or if it was something in his heart, and the actual or it was oh he had received a stem cell donation from a stranger,
right?
And so they had set this up ahead of time. The guy's in the restaurant, and he's got his birthday, and they come and they sing happy birthday to him, I think, and somebody says something to him. He goes, "Yeah, this one guy, he knew his name.
Yeah.
Donated this to me, and he saved my life." And the guy goes, "That's me."
Oh,
and they had set it up, and it was man.
And I want $1 million.
Yeah.
No. That's so
awesome.
It
was really special. It was very, very cool.
Something to consider, you know. And donating the organs is such an awesome thing to do.
Well, there's a listener of our show. His name's Derek Fitzgerald. He actually had a heart transplant, and I've met him a few years ago, and we remain in contact, but he doesn't know who, and the family doesn't know him, who gave him the heart. But this guy, after he received this heart, he runs marathons and triathlons.
It's amazing,
isn't
it?
And he's doing that with this other person's heart. And to me, if it were my family member's heart that was doing this for somebody, I would want to know that.
Right.
I would want to know.
I wonder in the process, if you're a donor, or if you have a family member who donates, can you make specific requests that your identity not be known to the recipient? I'm sure they would accommodate whatever you wanted. Yeah.
It's like a adoption process,
right?
So you have open adoptions and closed ones, right? So
I don't know. All right, I got another story in here, and it concerns medical stuff. I can go back to this call in a second that's coming up, but I do want to move on to this. But a peculiar symptom of COVID-19, coffee, for some people who have had COVID, coffee can smell like rotting meat to them.
Oh, my God. That's disgusting.
All right. COVID just got serious.
Yeah, right?
No, that's wild.
So Dr. Katie Loftus was treating coronavirus patients at Mount Sinai Hospital Health System until she got sick herself. It was a mild case.
Right.
And after 2 weeks, she was back at work. 2 months later, though, a new problem emerged. She said, "I started noticing a very bad smell at a lot of different places and different scents that I would encounter. It smells like something rotten, almost like rotten meat."
Does this happen during pregnancy as well? Your olfactory senses can be rewired?
Yeah, I think so. She said, "After I started noticing a very bad smell at a lot of different places and different scents that I would encounter."
Huh.
She said, "Comforting scents like lavender, breakfast cereal, and coffee suddenly were foul. She said, walking into a coffee shop is totally a disgusting thing to do right
now.
Oh, man.
She said, with this novel coronavirus, we are seeing a very high frequency or a high population of patients that have a change in the sense of smell or taste. And this is according to Dr. Alfred Iloretta, who is an otolaryngology.
We can't even say it.
Specialist, yeah. And says he's treating more and more people who have recovered from COVID-19, wrestling with changes to their sense of smell and taste. He estimates that 50 to 70% of the patients with mild to moderate cases of COVID-19 have some degree of impairment.
So when my brother-in-law had COVID-19, he had it for about 2 or 3 days. Not a lot of symptoms, but he did immediately lose his sense of smell and taste. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to follow up with Rochelle's mom and dad. They both had it, and they were in the hospital. They
right.
Got, she got
serious.
Real sick.
Yes.
Pneumonia and the whole deal, but they're recovering. But I haven't asked about the senses yet. Some have lost those senses completely, by the way. The doctor said what we think about the virus specifically when it attacks or attaches where we smell, and it's called the olfactory cleft. It's where the nerve sits that senses these particles in the air that we perceive or we sense. One theory is the virus inflames the nerve, causing it to swell, interfering with signals sent to the brain identifying everyday scents. There's no known treatment yet, but the doctor wants to find answers. He's running a clinical test that tests whether fish oil could be a remedy for the scent thing.
My best friend had it. She lost the sense of smell and taste almost immediately, and it lasted for a long time. And she said, so she had it like before we even, you know, really knew that it was here as big as it is.
Is it back now herself or no?
Well, so it lasted a really long time. She had it back in February.
Okay.
And she didn't get her smell and taste back for a few months. But she would each day she would take the jug of bleach and stick her nose in it because she was like, I can't smell it.
I can't.
And so when it slowly started to come back, okay, and she'd be like, I'm smelling it a little bit today.
Okay.
Well, it's coming back.
Stop and think what if you have like a gas leak in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't.
We smell for a reason.
We smell for a reason. Yeah.
She was fine. Like she said she just like freaked out that she couldn't smell anything. And like she said, I'm eating. I don't even like I can't taste anything. I'm looking at it. It's a taco, but it doesn't taste like a taco.
Researchers are trying to jar the senses back into operation by having them stand next to Gary Lauer after a workout.
But anyhow, the rotting meat thing. So not only can your scents go away, it can change. It can alter things and make them smell different.
Didn't you say that Rochelle was would vomit after chicken or the smell of chicken?
Well, that was more like a texture thing.
Yeah. Oh, a texture thing.
It wasn't the smell. But yeah, when she was pregnant, chicken, she had to stay away from it. But bratwurst,
that's a disgrace.
She ate every day. Hang on a second. I want to go back to the organ donors. We have Chris who's on the line. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
Nah, okay, man. What's up, bud?
My father, about in 99, got diagnosed with congestive heart failure.
Yeah.
And I was about 13 years old, and he was only about 30, so which is actually rare as it is. Jeez. And, we were waiting on a waiting list. He was able to come home for a little bit. But the oddity of the whole situation was a young man was on his motorcycle and wiped out and, was unfortunately pronounced brain dead. That young man, his mother sat next to my mother at work. And what they did was they wanted the heart to go to my father. Well, obviously can't do that because you have a waiting list and there's a lot of things.
Did they do a swapping program?
Yeah, they found a loophole in it. And my father was the same height and weight, roughly the same blood type and everything. My father's still alive to this day because of that young man.
Oh, so they were able to, so his heart was a viable candidate for him.
It was a match.
That's unbelievable. And this was someone she sat next to at work.
At work, it was her son.
So, Chris, how do you have any idea how long, on average, a heart transplant is expected to keep someone alive?
Sure, they said 10 to 12 to my father, so it's been almost 20 for him. And he actually can't say where he works just because then a lot of people know, but he's very high up in a medical professional field.
I tend to think they give conservative estimates on that because years and years ago, we're probably talking 30 years ago, a friend of mine, his father had a heart transplant, and his father is still going strong on that heart, so they probably you know, maybe it's to tamp expectations down, but I think it seems that a lot of the people that I know that have had, and I don't know that many, but I know some, they all seem to have exceeded the projected duration of the heart.
It's unbelievable. My dad would run circles around me at work, and I'm 33 years
old.
Huh.
Well, that's awesome.
Wow, good story. Thank you, Chris. Yeah. We appreciate
it. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Yep, take care. By the way, we're going to go back and forth between the COVID and the organ donors. But here's one that says, had COVID lost smell, Dunkin' Donuts smelled like burnt popcorn.
Oh, my God.
As my smell started to come back.
Wow.
This one says, my girlfriend's mom had COVID in April, lost sense of taste and smell, didn't get it back, recently drank spoiled milk without realizing it, and got sick.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Ew. Ew.
My friend actually started listening to Nickelback. Their taste was awesome.
Oh, my God. Yeah, their taste is so screwed up. Mm-hmm. Here's another text regarding organ donation, though, because this is a nice story.
Right.
This is a person said, I wanted to share this. My mother passed away from a massive heart attack. She was a donor, and after passing away, we were able to use her cornea of her eyes for a patient who was losing their eyesight. A year or so went by, and the family of the recipient sent my father a letter of appreciation that included a thank you stone. Great story for those who are uncertain on becoming a donor. So, when you can reach out and get in touch, it's got to mean a lot to the family, I would imagine.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let me see here. Yeah, let me go to Carolyn. Hi, Carolyn. Good morning.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. What's up, Carolyn?
Good. I had a corona mild case in August, and I lost my sense of taste and smell, and it is really weird when you can't.
And how did it? Anything. How did it come back to you, or has it?
Well, it's weird because now I feel like sometimes it's back and sometimes it's not. But like Kathy said, I was trying to smell bleach. I was doing everything to try to get my sense of smell back. And before that, I was hypersensitive to smell. I was like, oh, that stinks. I don't want to be around it. And now I can hardly smell, but I can taste some things and not other things. So it's really weird. Like, I can't even eat soup now because
soup
with no taste is like, I know, everyone's favorite thing, soup.
Bill wants to get COVID.
Bill wants
right
to get,
now,
yeah.
So he doesn't ever have to taste soup again.
Bill's on the way into work licking strangers.
It's weird when you can't eat and you just keep eating because nothing kind of satisfies you.
Satisfied, yeah.
Wow, no kidding.
Well, yeah. Smell is such a part of taste.
I wonder, Carolyn, if you would have tried, and I'm sure you wouldn't have smelled anything, but like ammonia or smelling salts that is just like
so pungent.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't. And now sometimes I can smell the bleach, and then other times I'm like, oh, good, it's coming back. And other times I can't. And like Kathy, I like wine. So I know.
I'm so sorry.
I know my friend was like, this one tastes okay. I'm like, if you say so, just have another glass. Yeah, but it's weird. But I'm hoping, because now I can taste more than I could before and smell sometimes, but hopefully it'll all come back very soon because it's been a couple months.
Okay, well, we're pulling for you.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody texted in. I wonder if this ever happens. Now, this is obviously they're lying about this. It had COVID and dog crap smelled like filet mignon.
No, stop.
Could you imagine if something horrible, all of a sudden smelled like fresh cooked bacon? You know,
well, you know, we've talked about things that we've talked about your own gas and how
it's awesome.
Yeah,
happiness is the smell of your own farts,
and it's the truth.
Yeah.
I know a mother who got COVID-19 and she lost her sense of smell. She had a really acute sense of smell beforehand, and her newborn had really stinky poops, and she was not able to smell them at all. So her husband came in, and she's like, oh, my God, he needs to be changed. And she was like, no, he's fine. And it was she couldn't smell. That it, you know, and her sense of smell has not yet returned. So
you love the smell of your own farts.
Forgot we had that.
That's from a presidential address.
Let me go to one more. We had so many calls. I appreciate it. But Bob himself received a heart transplant.
Wow.
Hi, Bob, you are on the air.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Wonderful. So, Bob, tell us your story. How old were you? What happened? Let us know.
When I was 35 years old, I had a massive heart attack. It turned out to be from congestive heart failure. So I went to, obviously, Jefferson Hospital. I stayed in the hospital from September to just after January after receiving my heart transplant.
Okay.
What you were asking about, like, do you contact the people?
Yes.
In Philadelphia, they do everything through the gift of life. So all I could possibly do was write a letter to the family, and they respond if they want to.
Okay.
I have yet to hear back from them.
So you send a letter through the agency. They will pass it on to the family. You don't know who they are, and they'll pass your note along.
Yes, I have no idea if it was a guy, a girl, white, black, green, purple, no information whatsoever. And I even asked the gift of life personally, can I just get, like, the first name of my donor so I could get, like, a tattoo of them or something?
Yeah, right.
I can't give out any information whatsoever.
And the family never got back in touch with you?
No, I've written a couple letters with, like, since my transplant, I've had two kids, which obviously I want to thank the heart donor because it's pumping the blood where it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
So I've had the two kids, and I send them pictures and stuff, but, I mean, from what I've been told, a lot of people just want to put the memory of their lost one, like, completely out of their mind.
You can completely understand that, yep. And it's everyone's personal decision, yep. but the end result is your life is, you're moving along and everything is good, your health is good?
Yes, I'm in perfect health. I've had, like, a gazillion biopsies since everything, and, you know. The only thing you can really do is take your medicine and definitely go get your checkups, like, every 6 months, like they ask.
Right. Yeah.
In the beginning, it's like every week you have to have a biopsy so they, you know, make sure that the heart is adjusting to your body.
Right.
And still to this day, I'm on, like, ungodly amounts of anti-rejection because
If
you're not on the medicine, your body will actually attack the new heart and then take it over.
Yeah, it considers it an invading body. Bob, if you get a biopsy, they actually have to go in and take a little bit of tissue from your heart?
Yes, they sometimes go through your neck or sometimes go through your groin.
Oh, they send it through the...
we're going to go through your dong.
Through the circulatory system.
Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, that's when they ask them, can I get a little more medicine than you?
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez.
Hey, Bob, what's the deal with meat and it having to be cooked all the way through? You can't have any pink in your steak?
No, it's quite embarrassing when you go to a steakhouse and you say, like, I need everything well done, and then the chef's like, well, I don't do anything well done. It's like, you know, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just telling you it has to be well done because of my health.
And why is that?
Anytime it's, like, undercooked type meat, there's, like, bacteria type things in there. Everything I do has to be, like, monitored. So even something as stupid as, like, a steak could affect me. Like, I can't go swimming in, like, the Delaware River because of the bacteria that's in there, but I go in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And that's a conversation for another time.
I just wanted to thank you guys for talking about this. It's very important.
Of course.
Check the box.
Absolutely. All right, Bob. Thanks, man. Happy to hear you're doing well. That we should explore that sometime. Weird little things that you can't do,
right?
Because of
a medical condition
or something along the lines. I bet there's stuff. I never would have thought. I didn't know people who, you know, you can't go swimming and or in certain bodies of water because you had a transplant.
Well, that's because in the Delaware, that's where the steak will swim up river and spawn.
That's only a certain time of year.
Steak spawning season.
Yeah, I had learned actually about the steak thing through that guy, Derek Fitzgerald. We were at the Headstrong Foundation's Limelight Gala, and, you know, they brought the meal out, and he sent the steak back, and he explained to the people, I need this cooked all the way through.
I wouldn't have steak. Yeah. I mean, I don't eat red meat, really. I have never really been a red meat kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you love it, you can get it the way you want it, but I'd sort of stay away from it if it was a heart issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, Steve, when the New York strips are swimming upstream...
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful because they come up out of the water.
And then you see the hard patients in the rapids jumping for them.
Grab for them. It's a thing of beauty.
It's amazing.
All right, that's all I have in the junk drawer this morning. That's all I have time for. We have some guests on the program. Actor Keith Coogan.
You know him.
You do know
him. You just don't know you know him.
He was in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. He was also in Toy Soldiers and Adventures in Babysitting. He's great. So we're going to talk to him a little later on. Brian Elliott of the Flyers is going to be joining us, and we'll also have a young local actor, Oakes Fegley. He's from the kind of Allentown area. We had his brother on a little while back. He's in a movie with Robert De Niro.
De Niro!
Co-stars with him. So we have that and more going on. We have the Bizarre File, which we're going to get to when we come back. So make sure you stay with us.
Hit up the
WMMR.com contest page for your chance to win the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Homegate Kickoff Prize Pack, including a $100 Primo Hoagies gift card, a four-pack of custom pint glasses, a case of Bud Light Platinum, and more. All delivered personally by members of the Preston and Steve Show. WMMR.com. Everything that rocks.
All right, real quick, thank you to Al's Corner Deli for coming by. Family-owned since 1976. They're in the Northeast, and they take pride in everything that they make, like their signature London broiler, Dietz & Watson London broil, roast beef, horseradish, cheddar, wow, romaine lettuce, pickled red onions, banana hot peppers, D&W horseradish, and gorgonzola spread on seeded Italian roll. Wow.
Jesus, that sounds good.
So thank you guys for coming by this morning. They're at 7940 Torsdale Avenue, and it's all part of the Real Philly Deli Tour. All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
And it is brought to you by your local Dietz & Watson. Real Philly Deli's there, open for takeout. Taste four generations of family recipes made with love, and show your support for local business. RealPhillyDeli.com. Dietz & Watson, it's a family thing since 1939. This is pretty wild. There's video of this towering shelves in a Brazilian supermarket collapse on top of each other in a domino effect.
It's
crushing one worker to death.
The footage is scary as hell. If you've ever been in a place that has these kind of shelves, every one of you has thought, I wonder what would happen if these came down.
Yeah, it's like being at Costco or BJ's or whatever. There's really high shelves. Eight people, including staff and customers, were injured in the accident that happened late Friday night. The dead victim was identified as 21-year-old Elaine de Oliveira de Rodriguez. She had been working at the supermarket for just 3 months. She was crushed under the falling products in the aisle where she had been stacking shelves.
So watch this footage, Kathy. It's running in the studio here.
This is like...
Boom, everything comes.
That's a nightmare.
Hundreds and hundreds of pounds of inventory.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Six others who were in the same location were wounded and rescued by emergency services. They were transferred to hospital and have since been released. Two other victims suffered abrasions and minor injuries and were allowed to go home. The retail store is at its busiest, packed with shoppers at the time. The video captured the moment that the metallic structures to the right of the screen started to fall, causing a domino effect on other huge shelves in front, stacked high with goods. And people are running, screaming, getting out of the way. And then they all turned around and went back and tried to help people get out of there. A full investigation has been launched by health and safety officials and police. A student has been left red-faced after having to be rescued from a dryer by a crew of firefighters. The drunken hijinks ended in embarrassment for Rosie Cole, who was 21. She decided to entertain her housemates with her contortion act. The video shows the moment Rosie was rescued by firefighters after she was dared to get inside of the dryer in their shared accommodation. She'd been enjoying a couple of bottles of Zinfandel and honey tequila when their Tuesday evening took a sudden turn. The student thought that there was no chance that she'd fit, but after she wiggled her way in, she was stuck and she couldn't get out. Emergency services were called to the bizarre scene at 11 p.m. as Rosie said that they save cats from trees, so maybe they would save students from tumble dryers.
When we were kids, we actually came across a dryer and we removed the dryer drum and rolled down the hill.
Oh, my God.
So that we both had hills in the backyard, and it was a lot of fun, but, of course, very dangerous.
The commotion lasted roughly 20 minutes in total, and it took three firefighters to successfully rescue Rosie, but she saw the funny side afterwards, and... it will be a tale to tell about what she got up to during the coronavirus restrictions. Bakersfield, California Police Department said a man was killed after being run over in a McDonald's drive-thru Sunday night. It happened around 9:30 p.m. Police said that they arrived, they found a man pinned under a vehicle in the drive-thru.
Jeez.
Officers were able to get the man from underneath the vehicle and begin performing first aid, but he was pronounced dead shortly after the ambulance arrived on the scene. Investigators determined the man was just lying down in the drive-thru, and the driver didn't see him before running over him. Drugs or alcohol don't appear to be a factor in the crash. The driver remained on the scene and cooperated with the investigators. They don't know why the guy was just laying down in the drive-thru. Pretty messed up.
They won't serve. If you walk up to a drive-thru, they won't serve you, right? That's
correct.
That's the rule at most
places.
That's
usually, yeah, the rule.
Yeah.
So. A new case report detailed the harrowing reason for an Australian woman's persistent headache. Apparently, it was a tapeworm in her head. Tapeworm larva.
Oh, my God.
Good news. Oh, it's a tapeworm.
Physicians detailed the woman's case, believed to be the first autoctonias case. I'm not sure how you pronounce this. Or local acquired case of neurocysticrosis, a parasite disease that occurs after accidentally ingesting the pork tapeworm eggs.
Oh,
so, Kathy,
I'm getting, like, it actually is making me feel a little nauseous.
So you get that diagnosis. Do you just run up to the roof of the building and jump off?
I mean, I don't know what would happen.
Euthanize me, please.
Seriously.
Humans become infected after consuming undercooked food, particularly pork or water contaminated with tapeworm eggs or through poor hygiene practices.
You have a brainworm.
The woman had never traveled overseas at the time she was diagnosed, and the doctor said that the Australian cases reported have either been in immigrants or returning residents who have traveled to endemic regions. Cases have been recorded in other non-endemic regions of the world, including a frequently referenced report in an Orthodox Jewish community in New York City and also in Middle Eastern countries where pork consumption is forbidden for religious reasons. The woman suffered headaches 2 to 3 times a month from the time she was 18, and the headaches were often accompanied by visual aura. Painkillers would usually provide a relief, but her headache described in the case report was persistent.
I'm inside your brain.
Leading her to seek medical attention. Her visual symptoms also worsened, and a subsequent MRI scan revealed what doctors at first thought was either brain abscess or tumor. When the woman went in for an operation to remove the lesion, discovered the cause behind her pain, cyst full of tapeworm larva.
Oh, God.
Thankfully, after...
Straight out of a horror movie.
The cyst was removed. The woman, who worked as a barista and was considered low risk for this type of infection, did not require further treatment. So, yeah, they just removed it and she was okay after that. But how messed up is that?
Effing tapeworms, right?
Yeah.
Bastards.
Should I wrap it up there?
Yeah.
All right, that's all we have time for. All right, thank you.
Kathy loved it.
That is the B-File. We are going to take a quick break and come back in just a moment. Don't forget, it is Tattoos Day, your chance to win a Preston and Steve-themed tattoo. And how do you do it? Simple. Just text the word tattoo to 39333, and we will choose a random winner from today, and you'll be headed off to Floating World Tattoo and Piercing at 1729 South Street in Philly. We'll be back in a moment.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So yesterday, just to run down a couple of the matchups, Aerosmith beat Bob Dylan. We had Prince beating Soundgarden.
That's a mind F.
And Shinedown beat Motley Crue. And then, of course, I led with Stone Temple Pilots beating Guns N' Roses.
I'm kind of excited about the Prince victory, though.
Yeah,
because
no, it's
Prince
interesting.
Certainly rocks.
But here's the deal. Casey thinks that Stone Temple Pilots beating Guns N' Roses is Pierre's fault.
I do. I think had that matchup happened in any other day part, Guns N' Roses would have won. Because I know the fan base of our radio station. And,
right.
And I filled out my bracket as well. I actually had Prince beating Soundgarden.
I didn't get to hear the pair up, Casey. Did you hear the musical selections?
No, I didn't. What I heard was the final tally, and okay. Pancake came on the air. And Pancake himself even said, I think if this happened in any other day part, we would have had a different outcome. And so, but I just can't help but think... and feel that maybe Pierre did a little bit of...
He's a flaming turd.
Because well, a couple of different reasons. A, the flaming turd, and then B, he has a great relationship with the DeLeo brothers.
He does.
And so, listen, it is what it is. You know?
We don't think that numbers were fudged.
No,
we
numbers were not fudged.
Attitudinally... No.
He just thinks
he might have
steered
that ship. Yes,
listenership maybe.
I don't know.
And
all right. So let me ask you this.
I don't think it is his prerogative.
Okay.
I think you need to be
as impartial as possible. Yes.
A neutral body.
Yes.
And not influence people.
Do we think that all the DJs though that are because they don't trust us with this stuff? But do, yeah. So do they? Do we believe that Jackson and we believe? Do we believe that they're remaining antiseptic?
I don't know, because they obviously, they have their ones. That, I mean, you know, you had Tool against Godsmack, and they probably wanted Tool. Or no, that was Jackie and Brent. I'm sorry. I would guess they wanted Soundgarden to win yesterday, and Prince ended up winning. So I don't know. I have not been listening to every second of these matchups and how the jocks are positioning them and whether or not they are... lending their own opinion as to who they think they should win, So,
and there are ways that you could do it subtly. Like, perhaps you don't know this, but the members of Soundgarden once gave my ailing mother a ride to the. So yeah. you can, you know. So there are ways that you can sort of indicate what you like and corral it. But I think ultimately it comes down to people go into it with their predetermined ideas,
mm-hmm.
and then when the songs are played, and you might just go,
yeah.
You know what? Because I'd be curious to hear what was played for Prince.
Yeah. Well, I have a question, because I didn't hear the matchup with the Rolling Stones and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
I did hear that.
Okay, so I don't know, and I know that those are two of Pierre's favorite bands, but his favorite band of all time is CSNY.
Right.
And so I don't know if he had done any sort of...
Now, they don't... Apparently, the music is pre... It's selected by an unbiased party.
It's the words in between the music,
right?
That I concern myself with.
Hmm. I don't think he did for that one, Case, but I didn't hear yesterday. So if he was campaigning yesterday, some people seem like they were picking up for it, but picking up on it. But I think for CSNY and Rolling Stones, he was just as surprised as everybody else.
Yeah. Okay.
And by the way, somebody texted and said, I don't think Pierre steered the selection. I'm assuming they were listening. So.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This one says, you guys are crazy. Both Pierre and Jackson and Sarah have all been neutral. There was very little banter between songs except the results.
Okay. Yeah, Jackson just puts it out there, but Pierre is a campaigner.
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
he'll own it for, you know, as soon as we ask him. I don't think he'll deny it.
He's okay. And we love that passion about the music.
Yes.
You know, and that's part of the deal.
So I wasn't listening, so I can't comment to that. So I hope that it was kept it was kept as neutral as possible, and people made their voices be heard.
Prince songs played were Little Red Corvette.
Okay.
Let's Go Crazy.
Okay. Those are two great ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Soundgarden.
Soundgarden with Spoon Man and Fell on Black Days. Two great songs as well. So, hell, I don't know.
You think you're bad?
Yeah. All right, well, it continues today. The next matchups are The Who against Dave Matthews Band. So that's the first matchup at 11:30.
Could that be an upset?
What do you think?
Well, I've been on a real Who kick lately.
Me too.
I don't know what it is. I started listening to Who's Next again.
Great album.
And then Tommy, Steve. So, like, back-to-back, I've dived back into the Who. But I love Dave Matthews Band. I would vote for Dave Matthews Band, but I don't think they'll win that one. I think The Who is a little more of an MMR staple, but you never know in this thing.
I'd vote for The Who. I love Dave Matthews Band, but The Who.
The Who.
The Who, man.
The Who.
Super group.
The Who.
One of the all-time greats. Then in our bracket, AC/DC versus Smashing Pumpkins. Smashing Pumpkins are great. Mm. They can't hold a candle to AC/DC. That's my personal opinion.
If you're talking now, and I threw, that was an audible for me with Smashing Pumpkins. I'm a big fan, but in this, not knowing, we didn't know at the time that this would be the machination of this contest. AC/DC is the more long-term, substantial band. So
anybody else? Takers? Who would you personally vote for? You're not saying anything?
No, I have AC/DC.
Okay.
Yeah. Kathy?
They're kind of a joke.
I know you're a Shania Twain fan.
Yeah, but aren't you guys doing now exactly what you don't want Pierre
exactly.
to do?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
We always endorse rules for other people.
During the voting process, during when the matchup is actually happening.
Yeah. Yeah, so who do you got, Kath?
Let's go, girls. Let's Steve.
Let's go, girls.
Let's go, girls. Are you ready? Let's go, girls.
That's disturbing.
That would be Nick's pick, not mine.
Hey.
What? No?
No, Shania Twain?
Yeah.
No, he's a Leanne Rimes guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, anyway.
I think I own more Smashing Pumpkins albums than I do AC/DC albums, so I don't know why, but like just with album collection over the years.
Likewise.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't own any AC/DC, but I have Smashing Pumpkins. But I still appreciate AC/DC.
You still listen to CDs by any chance?
Oh, yeah. I made sure that my car had a CD player in
Wait,
it.
Wait, really? Why?
And a record player.
Because I have... No, not a record player in my car. because I have such a substantial CD collection and haven't converted many of them over to...
What did it take to get that?
Digital? Just a request. I mean,
oh, okay. I wondered if that was a more. No. I guarantee you, it'll be a more difficult request to satisfy as we move along.
I knew which car I wanted to get, and I was able to make that request enough in advance, Steve. But they had to ask the question: do you want a CD player in your car? And I was like, hell yeah.
Do you think Rodney could rig up a turntable in a car for us, and we could go drive around?
I would love that. Oh, he could do anything.
Are you ready, guys?
Mobile. Pierre's, from instead of Studio R, from his
Studio
Car.
I love it. All right, Tom Petty and Allman Brothers off at 1:30.
Oh God,
or no, 3:30.
That's a tough one. I love Tom Petty, but there are some Allman Brothers songs that are just staggeringly amazing.
Are great musicians. They wrote really, really cool music, very intricate, soulful music. But Tom Petty's a hit machine.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Petty spoke to more people, I think. So what would sway me.
Tom Petty also revitalized straight up rock at a time when he came on the scene. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, this guy's playing rock. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of alt going on at that time.
I have Petty winning the whole thing in my little bracket.
Do you?
I do.
Huh.
Oh, you mean like the new wave movement.
Okay, right. Yeah, if you remember the movie FM.
Yes.
Tom Petty was the new artist.
All right, and then the last matchup, which will be tonight in the Jackie and Brent bracket, will be Rush against Nine Inch Nails. I'm not even saying anything.
Mm. Nine Inch Nails, right?
Yeah, of course. I think it goes without saying.
We got robbed. The Beatles and Rush should have ended up in our category.
I think we did pretty well.
And
we did great.
We might take it all.
You guys have Led Zeppelin and Pearl Jam. Okay, yeah. I mean, those are two juggernauts.
There were some people campaigning earlier, Casey, saying that they were going to vote deliberately for Def Leppard because they did not want the Beatles to win. So that I don't know when that matchup happens, but they, so that happens in this.
Shut up.
This matchup. You can only vote,
but they do.
Right? Preston,
it's the anti-Beatles vote more than it is a Def Leppard vote.
The dislike for the legend of the Beatles is strong amongst some people, and they will like
because they don't get it.
They don't get it.
Now, it's not that they hate them that much.
Right.
They hate that so many people love them.
And I react that way sometimes.
Me too.
When there's an onslaught of, you've got to love this.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't.
Shut up.
I hate it. Because you made me.
You made me love you. There's
Didn't
a person
do it.
We adore, Preston, who is always about, you're going to love this. And every time
is it Marilyn or Zach?
It's Marilyn.
Okay.
And every time she says it, I reflexively automatically hate what she's talking about. And she's right a lot of the times, but it's like, don't tell me that. I don't. Let me judge it for myself.
I know. I love her to death, but there were times. This is life changing.
Yeah. Religious.
Really? I think it's kind of boring.
The Canadian band Len is life changing.
Steal my sunshine?
Steal my sunshine. Oh my God.
Tell you guys stuff. I'm like, they're gonna hate it.
Shania,
are you ready, girls?
Yeah, it's like I've said before.
Can you see my belly button? It's right in there, right under the hair.
Oh my God, that's gross.
Anyway, all right, that continues today, 1:30. So, just giving you a heads up on that whole thing. I don't know what to do now.
We're now lost in a musical vibe.
Well, because we have a guest coming up at 9 o'clock.
Time?
At 9, which means we need to break by 8:50 to get back in time for our guest. And I don't want to burn up something that would be a nice meaty conversation. Oh, I know something.
Ah, meaty.
Here's an observation. I had. Went to the hardware store the other day. Went to
a hardware store.
Rochelle and I were going to pick up. I forgot. Oh, we were going to get some glue. Whatever. Anyway.
Oh, glue. Yeah.
So we walk in.
Gorilla glue?
No, okay. It was a caulk actually.
Oh my! Black caulk. I have a gorilla glue story.
Hold on to that.
I will,
because I want to hear your gorilla. Or should we hear the gorilla goo?
Are you ready for a gorilla glue story?
Gorilla glue is hard to say. Yes, like toy.
I said gorilla goo.
No, it's quick.
No, that's what Mrs. Gorilla sees.
Oh, God.
I'm not liking this.
Why do you think they call it silverbacks?
There's gorilla goo all over my back.
Your back was brown, but...
Now it's silver with your gorilla goo.
No, I'm not telling you.
No, I want to hear your gorilla goo story.
No, it's so quick. Jace is obsessed with Gorilla Glue that he asks me to take him to Home Depot and Lowe's so he can get Gorilla Glue.
Okay.
Does he use up the other Gorilla Glue he had?
He has like a little tool bench in the garage, and yeah, he'll use it up, but I guess it was the name. Like when he first heard it, he was like, wait a minute, what is this?
Gorilla Glue is excellent. Gorilla Tape is excellent. Gorilla Glue commercials and tape are excellent. Where the people are working on things.
Yeah.
Well, so we were there the other day, and he was like, oh, my God, they have brown Gorilla Glue. Like, some of it's white, and I guess they had a brown bottle. So he's like, can I get it?
It's all brown. Okay.
No, we have white.
If you're doing butt stuff.
Yeah. Right.
So I was like, oh, yeah, sure, why not?
That's interesting. What all is he gluing together if he's using up four bottles of it?
He made a birdhouse. He made a truck.
Oh.
He made a little tool kit, like a a little carrier for his tools.
Aww.
Like, yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I tell you about the time my friend glued his finger to the windshield of his car while we were waiting in line?
Yeah, with the rear view mirror.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were waiting in line at Island Avenue for him to take his driver's test, and we had to wait for so long that he had to pee. So I'm driving, so he goes to pee into a Gatorade bottle, knocks the rear view mirror off of his windshield.
And then had to glue it back.
And then I had to run to the 7-Eleven, like a half mile down the road. I run down to the 7-Eleven. I buy crazy glue. All the while, we're just inching closer. Because you had to wake up at like 5 in the morning to get in line.
Yeah.
So then you have to take the rearview mirror apart, and you have to glue the little metal piece to the
right.
windshield. And then he glued his finger to the windshield. Oh. And then he failed his test.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
Well, you'll fail if your thumb is on the windshield
yes,
for the entire
time. That's a, you know, it's a
visual
deterrent.
Failure, yeah.
No, he ended up ripping it off the windshield. But, Press, you,
you can only yesterday. Have your hand on 10. The right one is on the windshield. Yeah.
So I went to Lowe's. I'm actually glad you spent some time with us because it killed a little bit of time for us. And I love the Gorilla Glue stories. Walked in. First thing I saw. Huge. So when I first go into Lowe's, it's the kind of seasonal stuff that's right there, right when you walk
right,
in the door.
Yeah.
It's all Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Christmas stuff already?
Kathy, it's
Get
all
out.
Christmas trees. I'm like, and it's funny because a worker walked by, and I swear to God, I'm not even joking. I just go, out loud, Jesus Christ. And I realize I'm talking about
we're celebrating his birth.
Christmas. No, it's, you know, it's... There should still be Halloween stuff that you can purchase
is the Halloween
right
stuff
now.
Gone?
I didn't even look.
A few days into October.
It was so overshadowed by the Christmas stuff that I didn't even go looking. We weren't looking for Halloween stuff at the time. But I'm like, this is okay. I get it. I get, the day after Halloween or something like that. Sure, put the stuff out. I get it. I used to think it was ridiculous to wait until before Thanksgiving.
It's
really
too early.
But that's
come on.
That's way too early.
That was annoying.
I just thought it was weird. Yeah, but now, and I was doing the math this morning. If this starts and things trend this way, they go earlier, and keep going earlier. We're going to be spending an entire quarter of the year celebrating Christmas or working on Christmas.
Well, they have been edging ever sooner over the course of years. They're playing this one differently because they don't know. You know, for example, they're talking about they're expecting a reduction in the purchase of decorations and things like that. I think some people are like me. I went a little crazier because I you're so sick of just all the stuff that's been going on for the past couple months that you want to have some joy.
But yeah. I will say I've seen like at least a decrease in what they're carrying in their stock.
Oh, have you? Yeah.
At some of the places, not necessarily, you know, Home Depot or Lowe's, okay. but places like Target, their Halloween section, not nearly as stocked as it normally is.
Okay. So I'm not going to use any names here, but my my older brother and his wife, yeah. They have their Christmas tree up already.
What?
And it's because they bought a new tree. And my brother's father-in-law said, you should probably take it out of the box and plug it in just to make sure it works because you don't want to do that, you know, in December and it not work. So they just left it up, and they're so unapologetic about it.
Here's a couple of texts. Says, at Michael's, the Halloween stuff is already 40% off, and their Christmas stuff is all out.
Yeah, but they...
Today's the 6th of October.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. Michael's,
and they're already cutting the price. But, okay, well, here's another one. Hang on. At Home Depot yesterday, they were already starting to clearance out Halloween decorations.
Well, but wait, back to Michael's.
Is this based on what you're just saying, though?
Michael's always put stuff out. It's always 40% off. Yeah. Like, there's like three days where it's actual price. I don't know anyone who ever buys anything for full price at Michael's.
So do you think that an anticipation of a slower Halloween season has them discounting and moving things along to Christmas earlier?
I don't know. But
because, in fact, if you could look at, Nick, there was a story that came out about the perceived or what they're projecting for candy purchasing for this year. And I'm hearing a lot of people that are going to go trick-or-treating. And then, you know, we talked about, like, in Jersey, they're saying wear a mask under your mask and go, you know, do it, be safe. And it seems like a lot of people are going to do it. But even the projection of candy purchasing has been reduced.
By the way, here's a text that says, Christmas movies start on Lifetime October 23rd.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, they've been showing the Hallmark Christmas movies forever.
Let me go to...
God, I love them.
Dave. Hi, Dave. Works at Lowe's. Hey, Dave.
Gadzooks, what's going on?
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
So, here's the thing. Like, they put this stuff out so early that it actually takes away from the pleasure of Christmas time.
I agree.
Because it's such an overkill. Like, so, they usually put things out, it's usually like 2 to 3 months early. So, like you said, you walk in the entrance there, you've got the big, you know, table full of all the Christmas lights and all that stuff. And it's like, by the time it's Christmas time, you're so over it, you're sick of it. And it's kind of sad, actually.
That's kind of the camp that I'm in, to be honest, Dave.
Yeah, you want to, like, walk into the store, the decorations are up, the music is on. Like, it's the holiday season.
Time.
Like he's saying, it's taking away from that because they're doing it in steps now. The Christmas stuff is going up so early, they're not going to play the music yet.
Steve.
And then, usually around Thanksgiving time, you know, Christmas stuff's going on clearance already.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep. So sales of candy in the United States, Steve, were up 13% over last year, bigger jump than usual in single-digit increases. Sales of Halloween chocolate alone are up 25%.
Really?
Yeah, major stores like dollar stores, Majeer, which I'm not familiar with, ShopRite, help boost sales. But they also say Americans may just also be in a mood to celebrate after months of pandemic.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because I thought I heard a conflicting story. But I love that people are going to go for, you know, just Halloween mood enhancers.
Yeah.
Well, and just savor it and do it to whatever level you feel comfortable doing it safely because you can't miss, again, need I remind you, Halloween is on a Saturday this year.
I know.
Yeah.
There is a project. Now, we don't know what the weather's going to be, but there is a full moon on Halloween.
Yeah. it doesn't get better than that.
I think maybe also corporations are doing this earlier as a result of COVID. And just on the off chance that maybe if things get worse again, right?
Yeah.
You know, if there's this curve that goes... And if things get bad again and shut down again, they want to be ahead of it and get this retail stuff.
That might be thinking on their part, yeah.
Or trying to finesse it along to just get people seeing it and go, you know what? I should pick it up. I'm going to go for it and try to milk that. Now, let me ask you. There is one thing that is very hard to get. It was the big item, this super huge skeleton. Have you seen it? I think Lowe's and Home Depot were selling it. It's like a two-story skeleton. Have you guys seen it? There are memes all about it because it was every year there's one of those big Halloween decorations that end up on a lot of lawns.
Mm-hmm. I saw one, almost bought it.
What was it?
It was, and I forgot what Halloween shop we went to. Went to probably the best Halloween shop I've ever been to.
Was it a Spirit store?
It might have been Spirit. Yeah. But anyhow, they have more animatronic stuff that you can buy now. And there was one where I think it's called like the Soul Sucker. and it's a, like, you know, 7 foot tall creature of some type with a really big wide open mouth, and he's holding in his hands this infant or child, yeah. It looks like. Did you have you seen this one?
I've seen stuff like it. They're awesome with the, yeah.
So anyhow, yeah, and you touch the little trigger button, and it says, yeah, this is it. We're looking at it.
That's awesome.
And it goes, you know, look at me. Starts saying all this stuff, and he pulls a child up, and the child's head leans up, and it's some demonic, messed up looking head. And the soul sucker has a fan in its mouth that runs in reverse.
Yeah.
The child's mouth emits some type of fog, and
cool.
It starts sucking it into the mouth.
The life force.
I'm like, that's cool, man.
That is awesome.
That's pretty damn cool.
Steve,
it's like $300.
I had to get a new Halloween decoration.
That's awesome.
When we were at the store,
it's
the
like
other
a
day.
Like a Grim Reaper.
Yeah, okay. But it's, I mean, it's enormous. It's, I think it's 7 feet.
Does it break down? That's my concern.
So, yes,
I see
but
these big things. I'm like, that'd be great to have. What are we going to do with it for the rest of the year?
So we also have a skeleton from a few years ago. Jace loves this stuff. So my house turned from, like, pretty pumpkins and stuff like that into, like, a haunted house.
Yeah, and the way it should be.
Yeah, as Jace started to get more into it. So, yes, it can break down. However, I don't break them down. They're actually, at least the
kind
ones that we have. No, not that they're fragile. It's just a pole in between, and it's really just cloth that lays over it. And then, like, the head part. So we can kind of fit them together and put them in a corner in the basement. So it's not worth me taking it apart.
Breaking
now.
It down,
just,
yeah.
It's light. I can carry it up and down the stairs. Yeah, it's not, like, the big, real thing. You know?
Yeah, underneath those things, like, I was feeling them, like, that feels like a pool noodle, you know, or a water noodle or something.
Yeah, a lot of times that's what it is.
They're really small, and they put robes on them to make them look big. Yeah.
The great thing about Halloween decorations, and I do it. You've seen my setup at home.
Yeah,
awesome. Right, but the actual degradation of these things over the years and dilapidation, it actually works in the thing's favor.
It looks better.
Halloween decorations look better the older and more beat up they get.
Yeah.
This text says, by the way, I work at QVC. We've been celebrating Christmas since July. And it won't stop until after December 25th. So, yeah, man. I was amazed. This is the earliest I personally have ever experienced it. And I was like,
too early.
Not ready, man. I mean, it's the 5th of October. In fact, when we went, it was probably the 1st of October.
Yeah.
And come on.
I mean, some people are just now buying their Halloween. Now, I obviously buy well in advance. But this is kind of the time where you're like, oh, the Halloween stuff.
Yes.
When you go in and it's mostly Christmas, it's a little...
It's off-putting.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, then you get people like me who stroll through, and you're like, well, it's not Christmas yet, but if I wait, that's not going to be here next week. So I'll just grab that.
And that's what they're preying on.
It's the method, man. It's the commercialization. They get you. All right, we need to take a break because we have a list of guests joining us, and we're going to start with Keith Coogan, who's an actor who's appeared in some really fun roles, Adventures in Babysitting. He's the little brother, and in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead and Toy Soldiers and a bunch of other stuff. So we're going to talk to him about his career. Brian Elliott just signed with the Flyers.
Yeah.
Re-signed. We're going to get him on board. And also a young actor, 15 years old, co-starring in a movie with Robert De Niro, and he's from Allentown. His name is Oakes Fegley. So we have a few people to chat with when we get back. Make sure you're part of it.
We all got kind of hosed on that whole basketball bracket thing back in March. So we're bringing back the bracket with MMR's Rocktober Madness. Beginning today, listen as your favorite bands battle it out and you decide who wins. Starting with 64 bands split into four regions. The Air Pancake, Preston Steve, Jackson Sarah, and Jackie Brent. Matchups every weekday at 11:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. with Pierre and 3:30 and 5:30 with Jackson. And that's where you come in. Pull up the app or WMMR.com and vote for your favorite bands to move on or go home. It all comes down to one band, crowned champion of Rocktober Madness. Sponsored by Horizon Services.
Heating, cooling, plumbing, and indoor air quality.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We have our next guest ready to go. And, you know, I've always wanted to talk to, and we've started to do this, and we've done it over the years throughout, but actually seek out people who've played some characters in either movies or TV shows that you just, you dig, you know, for one reason. Or they had a string of characters like our next guest has.
Yeah, they always tend to be our favorite guests.
They always have great stories.
Yeah, and these are, you know, these are pop culture, to many pop culture milestones, mm-hmm. and we love it. And so this is going to be a great opportunity.
And not only three great movies out of the 80s that I love that he's been in, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, Adventures in Babysitting, Toy Soldiers. But he's had a long career, starring Steve, all the way back to the Love Boat.
All the way back to the Love Boat, Fantasy Island, and Knight Rider.
And still does great stuff. So we are happy to have him on board. Please give some love to Mr. Keith Coogan.
Yeah.
Good morning, Keith.
Well, hey, good morning, guys. How's it going over there?
Good. You know what? In setting that up, I forgot to play this. I meant to play a clip.
Let's play a clip.
Leading into you, so I'll play this now. Here, hang on a second.
I'll do the dishes.
Done, man. Cleans them down to the shot.
The dishes are done, man. In fact, Keith, we were looking. I think it was on your Twitter or no, maybe your Instagram account that you had. I don't know if you had an autographed Kenny quote dish where you wrote on it, "The dishes are done, man," and signed it.
Yeah, one of my first autographs, a friend of mine comes up with, and he's kind of hiding a blue dish that he snuck into the show, and I've never done autograph shows before, and he goes, "You got to sign it, and you got to put." Dishes are done, man, and I have sold them at every show, and I sell them online now.
No kidding. That's awesome.
Well, let's a number of these movies, obviously, now you've had a long career, and as we said before, we love this sort of stuff. I happen to love Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter is Dead. It's one of those ones that it just happened to hit. I don't know if it's in its theatrical release. It did a tremendous amount, but it happened to hit also at the time of ported into home video. And then on cable, and I watched it over and over and over again, and it had an interesting turn in that usually, hey, the parents are away and the kids are tearing it up. But what happens in this is that starts at the beginning, but the kids actually become, and kids, we're talking Christine Applegate and you, your teens, actually become more responsible and more evolved. And that was such an interesting turn on it.
Well, it's teenage wish fulfillment, you know, fantasy. Not, oh, I wish to kind of be an adult for a summer and be responsible and it falls apart on you. It's actually, I wish I could do it. And that's the writer's, their main conceit was, what if the parents went out of town and the kids got everything together?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and this is at the time when the 80s, when every other movie was, you know, was getting laid, was a teenager getting laid. That was pretty much it. So it was an interesting twist on the whole thing. And tell us what that experience is like. I mean, it seems like, and I would hope, that each one of these films that I mentioned were a blast to be a part of.
Oh, 100%. There's a great spirit in making filmmaking. It's a great team endeavor. You know, you guys got a team there. Everyone works with a team. There's usually big teams, 100 people or so on a set. But you can all be on the same page with that great script. And that's the thing that draws everybody to it. And then after you get these auditions and you're just dying in it because you love these stories and you love these characters.
So you actually, I believe you go all the way back to maybe like 2 or 3 years old. You appeared on camera, and then you were a working actor by the age of 5. Is that true?
Yes, I did have, my grandfather was Jackie Coogan.
Legendary.
Kid with Charlie Chaplin. He was Uncle Fester in the original Addams Family. So it kind of got passed down through the blood. My first TV appearance was his This Is Your Life. I think I was about 1.5 years old. And then I became professional, turned pro at 6 years old with my SAG card and did a bunch of commercials. And then those aforementioned 70s shows like Chips and Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, Love Boat Fan, Knight Rider. Such great fun shows. You know, because I'm a kid watching these shows, and I get to jump up and jump into the box and be on them.
Well, you know, and as speaking of Jackie Coogan, he in part was responsible for a law that looks out for young talent in Hollywood, and I mean there were legendary abuses with kids and things that were not, you know, done up to snuff as far as looking out for the finances and the monies earned and so on and so forth, and he was integral in making sure that things changed a bit. Am I correct?
Sure, Rin Tin Tin got to keep more of his own money than my grandfather did. Mm. Children were just seen as little acting flesh props to go throw out there in front of the camera, not really as full adults. They're kids. They're playing. They're having. No, these kids are learning their lines and hitting their marks and, you know, pulling out all the stops. So my grandfather did lose a lot of his money to his mother. And so he's always had great advice. Be careful of mothers and watch your money. So he established the Coogan Act that protects all kids in the entertainment industry. They've updated now, so there's a mechanism to actually siphon that money off before it even gets into the parents' hands. So it's great. It's helping kids. And, you know, because kids, you can't hold them back. Whether
right.
it's 5 or 10, if this is something you want to jump on stage or go in front of the camera, you really got to, you know, if you have to pull that kid away from that, want or desire, then that's something for them to try.
Keith, do you have kids of your own? And if so, have they gotten into the industry at all?
No, I have not. Unfortunately, my wife and I, we have not. We have kids, 7 years marriage. We're coming up on our 7th year anniversary. And she's a fan girl, too. So we run around to premieres and things in L.A. Mm-hmm. You know, I have always, you know, been a fan of, you know, the actors I've worked with and a bunch of other movies, too. So no kids yet, but, you know, stay young at heart here in L.A.
Hey, speaking of actors that you've worked with, Adventures in Babysitting, for those who haven't watched it in a long time, was rife with big-name stars. Soon to be big-name stars. It's Elizabeth Shue's birthday today, by the way. I don't know if you've watched The Boys that she's in, that show. It's outstanding. But Bradley Whitford, Vincent D'Onofrio, Anthony Rapp, Penelope Ann Miller. It was a hell of a cast.
Great cast, great director. Chris Columbus, I think he's
done
a few projects since then.
Yeah.
It was a really, really great cast. You know, Chris Columbus never wanted it to go over the top. So everybody got to keep it kind of grounded and real in this fantasy, you know, adventure story.
Right.
And Keith, also wanted to ask another name I left out, an absolute blues legend, Albert Collins, you guys did a scene with. What was that like?
I was amazing. I knew him, Albert Collins, and the Icebreakers, and I'd already got the cassettes and listened to him, and I knew he was a legend. And he had never lip-synced before.
Yeah.
And we had to record the song and take a couple of days to film the scene, so Albert did have trouble lip-syncing because he'd never done it before. He's always a live performer.
That's wild.
Yeah, in fact, I remember on the Blues Brothers, they had talked about the fact that all those great R&B singers that were in that band, none of them ever did that. They did what came
naturally
and emotionally, and it was really hard for even Aretha Franklin to lip sync. So I totally get that. That's an interesting story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He'd go for different guitar phrasings, and it's not what you got to do it this other way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a really fun scene. We were at Fitzgerald's Bar, which is where Paul Newman gave the Babushka to Tom Cruise in The Color of Money.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
The movie has such a wonderful heart to it. And Chris Columbus, obviously, a student of John Hughes. Was that his first directorial effort away from John Hughes?
You know, it was, he was more a Spielberg baby, having written Goonies, Gremlins, and Young Sherlock Holmes. And then just after Adventures in Babysitting, he did do Home Alone. But I think that Chris Columbus always had a kind of a family spirit quality about him. And Chris Columbus is a perfect bridge between John Hughes and Steven Spielberg. Chris Columbus knows that, you know, he's that spectacle that movies have to be in camera movement, but he also knows how to work with kids and actors and really get in touch with their heart to tell the story. I attribute all to Chris Columbus.
That's a key thing, and that ability to work with kids and have kids resonate as real. Your characters always seem to have a sort of a bit of a National Lampoon sensibility to the, you know, in your delivery, you for me represented the next generation of that kind of comedic approach. And were you weaned on that stuff?
I was weaned on Animal House. I'd worked with Jamie Widows on Raising Miranda, Otter. Of course, as a kid, you obsessed over those films and others. Horror movies were a big influence too. Like, I was 10 or 11 when Friday the 13th came out. But that sensibility, that adult Mad Magazine, National Lampoon, when you're that young, you don't understand what, you know, what lampooning is or
right.
the institution of the National Lampoon. But one of the films I worked on in the past, the director wound up directing the documentary on the National Pacific Twisted, whatever the heck that one was, fantastic film on them. Yes, I think it's playing it straight within comic circumstances.
Yeah, and that
with lots of energy.
Who was your main comedic? Because there is a fine line of overplaying it and playing it for comedic effect, but playing it straight. Who was your main influence as far as that goes?
Wow, you know what? Chris Columbus had us watch After Hours with Griffin Dunne.
Yes,
so Griffin Dunne brought that manic want, that need, that neurosis, and Woody Allen. I know I studied Annie Hall to get some of Brad and Adventures in Babysitting's neurosises down.
So you also had a couple of other movies. Obviously, we talked about Toy Soldiers, which is sort of an interesting movie because it's, you know, if you haven't seen it, I can recommend it to everybody, but you're basically this squad of kids who are called into to fight terrorists.
Yep, they're forced to.
Yeah. And there's a lot of action, a lot of stunt work. Was that the most you'd done stunt-wise up to that point?
I had been, you know, mere stunts. I thankfully, my character is nowhere near any guns. He's a chicken. So
yeah, he had asthma or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone's got to have a character. You got the brave and the bold ones, and then me, I'm the one that'll wait till the guy walks by till he, you know, spits at him. There was always, I always love playing characters that are a little subversive. They think, you know, with their peers, they're getting away with things. But as we know, as adults, we know what the kids are up to.
Right.
Toy Soldiers was heaven. It was a dream. I understand it was very hard to get on it. There weren't every kid in town was trying to get into Toy Soldiers. So I was very lucky. So thanks to Dan Petrie Jr., he directed Beverly Hills Cop. He wrote Turner and Hooch. He's the one that killed Hooch. He's a great guy, and this was, you know, Dead Poets Society meets Die Hard. It's taken over by terrorists. And you know who turned out? Of course, I got to work with Luke Gossett Jr. and Ken Matthews.
Oh, we're losing you.
Your phone line's breaking up, Keith. I heard Luke Gossett Jr.
Dear Luke Gossett Jr. and Denham Elliott, and of course the best, was the bad guy, Andy Devoff. Andrew Devoff, the bad guy in Toy Soldiers. Great Skyler.
He is Anthony Kiedis' father, is he not?
Oh, I don't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm he's also in Lethal Weapon as well.
If that's him, yeah. Yeah.
Lethal Weapon 2 and 48 Hours 2, that's correct.
Yeah, the whole thing, and you had Lee Ermey as well was part of that.
I forgot he was in there.
What a legend.
Yeah.
Well, I'd worked with Vincent D'Onofrio as Thor in Adventures of Babysitting, and here comes R. Lee Ermey. I'm like, I don't think my frivolous babysitting movies connect to the Stanley Kubrick universe as much as it did.
That's excellent. Hey, tell us about the web series, The Quarantine Bunch, because you've got a lot of cool names in that as well.
Well, as a former child star, you've got a secret society where child stars meet and support each other and tell war stories. Well, the coronavirus has caused a quarantine, a lockdown. So we have to take those meetings online onto Zoom. You can go onto YouTube, check them out. It is, of course, a completely crazy series. We try to play it straight for about 2 seconds. It's kind of easy to talk about, so buckle up your expectations and tune into The Quarantine Bunch on YouTube.
So, Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains, Danny Pennatoro from Who's the Boss, and Scotty Schwartz from Christmas Story. There's a bunch of people, and I love seeing groups like that sit around and talk about
the industry. Yeah, that's
the
awesome. Industry
and what they went through. Wow. Keith, what's coming up besides the quarantine? I mean, nobody's really working right now, but do you have any irons in the fire?
Oh, sure. I just finished a feature of all things during quarantine, and directed by Josh Rauch, who did the documentary for Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
Yes.
So thanks to Kevin Smith, of course, so everyone can go stream Reboot, buy that DVD with a box, however you want to carry your pigeon, can we give you a copy. Kevin Smith will personally come to your house and bring you a copy. Just have a lot of coffee ready. He's going to take a while.
He's a friend of the show, and he's great. So,
all right, well, listen.
So, feature under the belt web series. I just can't wait for town to open up because I, on the side, I am a tour guide
at Sony Studio Tours. So
there you go.
Back up and get us back out there.
Nice. All right. Well, listen, Keith, it's wonderful to meet you and to hear about these great stories. And I'm going to check out your web series for sure. But thanks for taking some time with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks for the time, guys. Everybody take care. Thanks.
You got it. Keith Coogan,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
Dishes are done, man. He's great. And, unfortunately, his phone line was horrible.
That. I know. Yeah. I hate that.
What you going to do? Bill will probably yell at us later, even though there's nothing we can do
about
it. Oh,
could you not ensure the phone quality to be good?
Yeah. Why'd you hang up on him? All right.
What did you hang up on?
Our next guest always has an exemplary phone line.
That's what he's known for.
Isn't
in
he
the
known
NHL?
For that?
Yep. Mr. Phone.
Yeah.
Mr. Phone.
Mr. Moose. Phone.
Yeah. And if you recall, he does an amazing moose. Yeah.
Well,
he does.
You remember?
Yeah.
If they would have won the Stanley Cup,
right.
He was going to do the moose impression first,
right.
But the moose call. But
we had to forget about the moose.
No, but in the meantime, for a moment. But in the meantime, he's been re-signed with the Flyers for another year, which is wonderful, and we are happy to have him on. Please, what are you going to play the clip?
Yes, why don't you forget the moose?
Thank you.
For a moment,
ladies and gentlemen, Moose Brian Elliott.
Yay!
Hey, Brian, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. How are you guys?
We're doing. See, you do have a good phone line, Mr. Phone.
Where are you calling? Are you in Philly?
No, I'm out in Wisconsin, kind of in the boonies. So I was hoping that I was going to have a good phone line, but I'm not too sure.
You got to live up to your reputation
as Mr. Phone.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I guess we got to wait another season before we hear the moose call, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm planning on just this one, so we definitely got to win it here. So, it's good to be back in Philly, and you know, we're really, really excited to sign back there for another year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, as a Philly fan, I think speak on behalf of everybody when I say thank you for signing and staying with the city. I want to go back to this moose call because I want to ask you, do you actually do a moose call, or is the joke the hear moosey moosey, and that's why everybody says you have a great moose call?
No. That's just a really bad dad joke. But, I actually do one. So,
okay.
If we win, we'll save it.
Save it, yes.
I don't want to hear it.
No, we want to hear it when you're lifting the Stanley Cup overhead.
Yes, that's when I want to hear it, and I feel that we will hear it, and I just want to hang on to that. What was the second half of that season? I'm not talking about, you know, the fact that you guys obviously wish you would have gone further and so on, but you know, with the way sports are in general this season, what was it like to you guys? Not hearing the crowd, having a different tone while you were playing. Can you speak a little bit on that, Brian?
Yeah, it was definitely different. You know, the first couple of games, it felt like you were, you know, just in practice mode. And I think we kind of were, but once it got into the series, the playoffs, it was, you know, it was definitely the temperature got turned up, but, you know, you still don't get that energy from the crowd. And, you know, our game is, you know, you thrive on that kind of stuff. And especially in Philly, you know, in the playoffs, it just gets so loud. And, you know, I hope we can get back to that, and I think it'll be a huge advantage for us. And, you know, with the type of team I believe we have, you know, we can go far. And, you know, getting that crowd noise would definitely give us a kick in the butt for sure.
Was there anything that you could hear that you normally wouldn't hear before without the crowd there?
Not really.
Okay.
I think, you know, you once you're out there, you can hear the chirps. You can hear it a little better, I guess. But,
okay.
Well, you're used to hearing everything because you always select very good phones. Because
exactly.
you're known as Mr. Phone, and you hear
a
lot
doing
more.
A phone deal here?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll work on an endorsement for you, Brian.
But it must have been odd. By the way, kudos to the NHL, because once the tournament started, the hockey was awesome. You didn't have the fan noise, and that part of it was different, but it looked incredibly intense, and I couldn't tell that it wasn't being played in front of fans other than the fact that the noise was in there, because the intensity of the tournament itself seemed like a regular Stanley Cup tournament. Did you get that feeling as well, Brian?
Yeah, I think it got turned up so fast just because everybody knew that, you know, whoever was ready to play on that night was going to win. I mean, you know, if you were prepared, you were able to pull off a win. And you saw us, we struggled with Montreal a little bit, and then we obviously eventually succumbed in Game 7 to the Islanders. And I felt like, you know, a lot of games could go either way, and matchups could have gone either way. And, you know, we played well against Washington, Tampa, Boston, and You know, we kind of struggled with the other team. So it's like the matchups were a little weird, and, you know, anybody had a chance to win the cup, and I think everybody, you know, could smell the blood in the water and right. went after it.
You probably won't acknowledge this on air, but you actually took a pay cut to stay in Philly, which is so commendable. We're really happy that that's going to happen. What about this team excites you most about in the 2021 season?
You know, we'll see. Today's a big day, draft day, I think, and, you know, and then some free agents in a free agent frenzy in a couple days. And, you know, it's weird. We lost a guy, Nisky, decided to retire. And, you know, that's big on our back end. You know, as goalies, me and Carter rely on those type of guys. And, you know, he was one of our top defensive defensemen. And, you know, I think we're going to have to replace a guy like that. And, you know, we'll see. I think, you know, we've had a clear vision since, you know, Chuck coming in. And, you know, we definitely, you know, have the team that can win it. We just have to put the pieces together and gel and obviously get a season off the ground here.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, who knows, we'll see what happens, but it's going to be interesting. You're going to be getting back to work quicker than you normally would have, in a regular season. Is that kind of exciting? Is that kind of cool?
Yeah. You get a couple months off here and then you're right back at it. And, we don't really know. We have no idea when it's actually going to start or what it's going to look like. So,
yeah.
You're just kind of preparing with, you know, trying to set a peak goal of, you know, what you're guessing the season's going to look like. And yeah. Once it finally gets here, you know, we'll be ready to go for sure.
Would you do an entire season in a bubble like you guys did for the playoffs? Because, I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's doable. Just with the cost of everything, you can see where the NHL was breaking down, how much it actually cost them to do this tournament. And I think there might be a couple different bubbles around, and you go for 2 weeks or you leave for 2 weeks. I don't know. There's been a lot of talk about what it could look like, and you know, we're just wait and see right now.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, man, we just wanted to congratulate you, and we're happy that you're staying in Philly, and you know, enjoy your time off for now, and we'll catch up and hopefully hear that moose call someday.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. I look forward to getting back there.
All right, got it. Take care. Brian Elliott, guys. Hey! The moose.
Mr. Phone.
There he goes.
It's another Elliott in Philly, though. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Jake Elliott, Preston Elliott, Brian Elliott. I love it.
Duke Elliott.
Yep. Duke Elliott. You have an Elliott jersey, right?
I do.
Blues? Yeah, that's cool.
In fact, the first time I met him, you know, I said, oh, my name's Elliott, too. And we both go, how do you spell it?
Yeah.
Because he's E-L-L-I-O-T-T. I'm E-L-L-I-O-T. So he's like, we're not related. And I go, well, I made it up. It's not my real name. Don't worry about it. All right. So our next guest has an interesting name. We met his brother, who also has an interesting name, Winslow. I always thought that was a really cool name.
Yeah, absolutely.
But his name is Oakes.
Even better.
Young man, also in the world of acting. Now, his brother we had in here for the Timmy Failure movie. He was great. Really charismatic kid.
Yeah.
Now, his older brother here is in a movie we've been saying all morning, Robert De Niro, starring alongside Robert De Niro.
Yeah, there's more.
Oh, yeah. There's Uma Thurman. There's Rob Riggle. There's Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Jane Seymour. It's just chock full. Cheech Marin is in this movie.
You have
as
Christopher
well.
Walken and Robert De Niro. This is the unofficial sequel to The Deer Hunter.
I didn't even think of it that way. Oh, my God. They just decided to name it The War with Grandpa.
And make it a comedy.
Yeah. Please welcome Oakes Fegley to the show. This morning. Hey, Oakes. How you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, man. All right. So let me get this out of the way. So we had Winslow in. You guys grew up in the Allentown area?
Yeah, we're still actually Allentown local. My brother's not here right now.
Okay.
He's away filming something new.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, we both act and we both live obviously in the same place, and as we always have. So,
all right, so
yeah,
you're 15 years old?
I'm 15. I'll be 16 in a little less than 2 months.
Oh, wow, dude. All right, so awesome. You're going to get right on it and get your license right away, or are you going to wait a little while? Because a lot of people have been waiting.
Absolutely. I've been waiting since I was quite young. Very excited to Josh.
Good.
So.
Yeah, nice. That's the way you do it. A lot of kids now, we talked about this, that is, it's no big thing. When I was a kid, absolutely. You wanted to get that license. So, and then then you can get your part in the next Fast and Furious film, so you'll be all set.
Well, listen, a couple things to point out. Number one, in the remake of Pete's Dragon, you were Pete, correct?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah. Good while ago, but yeah, it's such a fun film to film, and obviously my brother's also done some Disney as well, so definitely kind of runs in the family at this point.
Why then did the family not grab you guys and let's move to LA and immerse ourselves in it? And you've stayed in Allentown and managed to work out of there. Any idea why you guys have held on to those roots?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the main reasons is obviously my family, and I've been not only do I have family local here, but also I just have my family, my personal family here, and we all go to school or have gone to school at different places and things like that. So school has always kind of been important, and trying to keep that. Also, you know, I have something that's not to be forgotten, and
they're coming for you now.
They're coming for you.
Get out.
They're coming to take you to LA.
We can hear the sirens in the background.
Yeah.
Are you in New York City by any chance right now?
No, I'm in Allentown.
Okay.
I'm not home.
Yeah, so well, but I mean, I think that's a smart move. You hear all the time. I mean, you have something that grounds you, and we've heard stories from you know, younger actors and teenage actors who get older, and a lot of times it can be a little disorienting to move out there. But to have something that fixes you and anchors you, and now with the state of movie making and everything as it is, you can do what you need to do and you know, contact people, and then that's got to be good for you. It gives you a place to go back and sort of decompress.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, LA can be difficult. It's a lot of pressure, and just obviously it's difficult now, but it's just a plane away, you know, just a flight away. So it's not too bad. I'm out in LA normally pretty frequently anyway, but it's just not where I want to stay or want to situate myself. So being in Allentown, it not only grounds me, but I'm just my roots are here, my friends are here, my school is here.
We love that. All right. Well, listen, Oaks, when you were auditioning for The War with Grandpa, did you entertain the idea that for the rest of your life, people are going to ask you, what was it like to work with De Niro? The rest of your life, dude. You're going to hear this forever. You know that.
Absolutely. And it's okay.
Okay.
Everybody wants to know, and it makes sense. He's an awesome, awesome person to work with. Even like the first, I think, week or so in, he just, you know, introduced himself as Bob. And like, he's just such a humble person. Such a nice guy to work with, and also the most professional of anybody I've ever met, which probably doesn't surprise anybody, but it really is just, you know, it's a dream to be a part of something that he's been a part of, and even just the rest of the cast. I think it was definitely a fun film to shoot.
And you know, obviously just as much of a legend as Stephen or Christopher Walken. And he apparently, the word is he likes to play a prank where he tells people that it's his birthday when it's really not. Did he try to pull that one on you?
I don't think so. I don't think that happened.
Okay. I mean, at this point, word has gotten out, so he's probably not doing that. But so the general gist of the movie, The War with Grandpa, and I believe it's based on a book. Grandma passes away. He moves back into the house with you guys, but takes your room. He kind of sends your life into upheaval. And so you kind of say, okay, I'm drawing a line in the sand here, and we're going to war for my room. And your mission becomes making sure that he relinquishes his room and perhaps even leaves the house. Is that correct?
Yes. It's kind of a power struggle between the two. And they're very similar people. And that's the reason they butt heads so much. And that's the reason why there's the tension, is because they both don't want to back down. And they are both very much passionate about something as obviously silly as just the room.
I love movies like this. I love dynamics like this. I love conniving and going at each other and all the practical jokes you can play on each other. Were you drawn to movies like this yourself?
I mean, absolutely. I think many kids and younger people are, as well as, you know, just families or anybody who's looking for like a laugh.
Yeah.
I think there is places for films like this, and hopefully this finds its place among them.
Yeah.
A lot of physical comedy in this. What what was your stunt regimen like? Did they have you do a lot of things?
So I did all my own stunts on Pete's Dragon, so I was very much all right to do more stunts on this. And there's a few pretty intense sequences and things like that where I did a few of the stunts. I didn't do all of them because some of them started to get incredibly intense on the trampolines. I won't give too much away.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, you go to one of those bounce places, yeah, where the trampolines all over the place. In that case, what do they do? They're not using another young, like a 15-year-old. Do they use a like a smaller stunt person, or how do they? Yeah, how do they do that?
They do that. They had a bunch of smaller stunt people because it's not only my character but also some younger actors as well, and we were all 12, 13 at the time a few years ago. So it's definitely interesting to get those like smaller people in for stunts.
Yeah.
But they were great. They were really nice and a lot of fun to be around.
You have to get an appreciation of there's a great YouTube channel called Corridor Crew, and it's special effects artists and stunt people commenting on the work they do in films and the amount of stuff that goes on with those people. You always wonder why. You'll hear actors such as yourself being so effusive and praising these guys, but they just do a phenomenal amount of work that's just amazing that we just assume, you know, we just take for granted as movie viewers. Were you blown away by what they were doing?
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, it's something that I have to say as well, is I haven't worked with anybody who's done any stunts or anything for me,
yeah,
that hasn't been an awesome, humble, just nice person in general. They're always just really great. And when I did them for Pete's Dragon as well, we had a huge stunt team, and the New Zealand stunt crew is awesome overall over there. So that's always great, and they're just cool people and have the best stories out of anybody.
Hey, Oaks, with the movie focusing around a lot of pranks and pulling things over on each other, was there any of that going on in real life on the set? Was anybody trying to prank each other?
We realized pretty quickly that we were just awful pranksters.
You were just amateurs compared to what was happening in the movie.
Exactly. But it was just a lot of, like, I mean, there's just definitely playful energy and kind of, you know, that kind of sarcasm that comes out. But
yeah,
it's definitely, there was no major pranks or anything happening, just joking around and just having fun.
So, folks, the film was shot in New Zealand?
No, the Pete's Dragon was filmed in New Zealand a few years ago, but this was filmed in Atlanta, Georgia.
All right, so you were near Walking Dead territory. Were you? Did you ever encounter those guys while you were there?
No zombies for you.
All right.
Well, this movie's coming out on Friday, and then in post production, if I'm reading correctly, you have Who Framed Tommy Callahan coming up down the road.
Yeah, that's something I did a while ago as well. So I don't know what the plan is for that one.
Yeah, everything's kind of up in the air right now with releases.
Everything. Absolutely. Yeah.
It must be strange, you know, with how you know, at your age and you're obviously growing quickly. To look, you mentioned that you filmed this, you were 12, 13 years old. It must be kind of strange to look back and see and see yourself a project now just coming out where you're clearly a lot younger or look a lot younger than you do now.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely a change. And and looking back, I always like to say it's kind of like a time capsule to be able to go back and see myself at a different point in time, a different point in my growing up, and kind of not only bring back some of those memories from filming and things like that, but just it's literally me at a younger point in life. So being able to see that is always cool, and this is no exception. But yeah, it was a long wait for this one.
Yeah, it's funny. We don't realize a lot of times between the time a movie's completed, and it's obviously been exacerbated by the corona situation. But you know, a lot of times a movie will get done, and somebody will be out
while they're, you know, promoting a movie that they shot years ago. And
absolutely,
that's just the nature of the beast. Well, you and your brother are obviously the beginning of an acting dynasty, because you guys are on fire. And the fact that you're keeping it local is really cool for us. You know, because it, you know, obviously we support anything local, and to see this happening and for this movie to hit now when people could use a good comedy is a perfect timing.
Yeah. Thank you. That's the hope.
By the way, Oakes, you're a nice young man. Your younger brother was a bit of a smartass to our producer when he was here.
I had it coming.
Is that par for the course?
He's awesome.
He was kind of breaking Casey's balls a little bit. It was very, very funny. It was excellent.
Yeah, no. Winslow's awesome. He's got a lot of energy.
That's great.
And he's like that in real life too. It's great.
He's really good.
Will you guys be in something together someday, or have you already?
Definitely has been something not only that I've talked to him about, but we've thought about. But we don't have anything planned quite yet or anything like that. But definitely, I'm not against it. He's definitely not against it either. So
cool.
Something comes up, we would definitely be down to do something like that. Could be a lot of fun.
Nice. All right, Oaks, well, remind people the War with Grandpa is in theaters on Friday. And since you're in Allentown, man, when things, you know, chill out, we gotta have you into Philly and stop by the studio someday, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
Excellent.
Sounds
All right, thanks, Oaks. Oaks Fegley, right. Guys. Yeah. Take care, man. Bye-bye. Good luck with everything. The War with Grandpa, we were watching the clips of it. It looks funny.
Yeah. I love
it. It looks funny.
We were talking about Big Fat Liar.
Yeah.
We're big fans. Anything like any revenge or that sort of back and forth stuff.
They show a shot of De Niro. He's getting ready to shave. He puts his shaving cream on his face. He looks down the can. It's got a fake wrapper around it. It's foam sealant. I love it.
I forget. I do remember the kid being in the studio, his brother, but what was he giving Casey a hard time about?
I don't remember. I just remember us going, whoa!
I was a little creepy with him.
Oh, really? And did he say, you're being a little creepy?
I mean...
But did he say that?
He acknowledged it. Whatever way he worded it, it was funny.
It was funny.
Talking about the foam sealant, the sequence, Preston, in movies, classic one-ups. Scenes are great. One of the ones that I just think is one of the funniest things ever captured on film is in Private Benjamin.
Okay.
When they sneak into the female sergeant's shower, they put blue dye in her shower head.
Yes.
So she showers and she's got it. They're doing like parade dress the next day.
Yeah.
And she shows up. Well, and she is dyed blue. And the general's looking and she's like, she's smiling.
Then she smiles, her teeth are blue. It's excellent.
It is so goddamn funny. We were talking about movie nails, stuff like that. You can't help it.
We were talking about the passing of Jay Johnstone last week.
Yeah.
His stunt on Time and Lasorda is what inspired that very scene in Private Benjamin.
Oh,
so he did that to Time and Lasorda. Yeah. And so Steve's, it was when he was with the Dodgers, and there were screenwriters that knew about that stunt, thought that it was hilarious, and they included it in Private Benjamin. So it was a nod to Jay Johnstone.
It's so funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So there was something similar in Big Fat Liar, was there not?
Yes.
There was.
Okay. They
do the same thing.
Blue. Mm-hmm.
And then they put orange dye in his shampoo.
Yeah.
He has blue skin, and he's got orange hair.
He shows up at a kid's party,
and
right?
They think he's the clown.
And they start attacking him.
It's great.
What did they do to Captain Mauser in Belize?
There was like glue on his
hand. That's what it was. It was crazy glue.
His shampoo was glue.
Epoxy in his hands got in there. And then,
sending them both to the gay club is again.
The Blue Oyster?
Yeah.
And they did another one where they... you know, and there were a couple of guys that played those exact same roles as the kind of sergeant and his crony. And there was another one where they had put tape on his eyebrows and ripped his eyebrows
and
off.
And he draws them on.
And he draws them on with the big eyeshadow and everything.
Why are we such suckers for that stuff?
Yeah. It's fun, man. Because you wish you could get away with that.
Could get away with that.
You know?
And execute it that effectively.
Yeah.
Do you want to have the, Marissa found the Winslow... Me interaction.
Yeah, sure, sure. All right, let's hear this. This was when Winslow Fegley. You remember it?
I do.
It
was,
all right, here we go.
I dance. I break dance.
Do you really?
Yeah.
And you tap dance as well. Like you go to what? Is
I tap dance.
The school yeah. you school you go to is
it's called. I go to a Waldorf school. Yeah.
So is it? Are there a lot of training for the arts and things of that nature in that school?
Yes.
Okay. Very. Yes. So you can break dance.
I can break dance. I play the piano and I play the cello.
Wow. You're far more accomplished than we are.
Yeah, me too.
I really need to bring you home and show my kids
what they could be.
What they could be.
Kids. So, Winslow, do
I'm
kids
sorry.
Should...
Hold on. I stopped listening at Bring You Home.
That's a nail. Oh, that kid nailed it.
What a great line.
Wow. That kid is very smart.
Oh, let me see. Hang on. Let's see how that continues.
Wow. There you go.
Oh, my God.
Kid nailed it.
Now I really need to bring you home.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah.
Well, his brother, I did not realize that that he was Pete and Pete's Dragon. That's pretty damn cool.
That was a remake. Yeah. It was much better than the original.
Yeah, that's cool. Nice. All right, well, listen, we should take a break because we got some B-File stories to get to. We still got a few other things, including the fact that it is Tattoo Tuesday. Text word tattoo to 39333. You might win a $350 Preston and Steve themed tattoo from Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. And thank you to Al's Corner Deli in the Northeast on Torsdale Avenue and 3J's Market, Fishtown, and Northern Liberties. They brought by food this morning from Dietz and Watson. We'll give some more details on that in a little bit. We will be right back.
Freshen up your look with a fall merch update at MMR's Rock Shop. Head to WMMR.com and grab the latest hoodie or winter hat. For all you Halloween heads, hit up aisle one for a flurry of ghostly face masks. They'll get you right in the spirit. And work nicely if you're one of those, this is my costume kind of people. Plus, get cards, t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs for a unique gift for that person who has everything. The Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Everything that rocks your wardrobe and more.
I need to apologize. I meant to do this shard out earlier this morning because Nancy, who emailed me, says they listen between 7:45 and 8:15. But I want to go ahead and do it now because it is an anniversary shard out. So Nancy Van Istendahl, if you know Nancy, tell her that I'm doing this for her and her husband, Glenn. She said, sorry to bother you at work. Wanted to resend my request in hopes that you and Steve could give my husband, Glenn, a shard out tomorrow morning. He's been working so hard to keep our family business afloat during the pandemic.
Oh, God bless.
And I just know that a shard out would make his day. We own a golf course in Marlton, New Jersey, Little Mill Country Club, and would love for you to bring some friends out for a round of golf. Nancy, I would love to do that. I haven't played golf in over a year and a half now because my shoulder won't allow it. And I'm trying to do what I can to make that work, but it's just not happening.
It's an anniversary?
It is an anniversary.
Do you have some romantic music, Case? And then I'll add the shard on top.
That's a nice way to do it. Yeah, so
right, ready?
Nancy and Glenn.
This is for you.
Aw. That's beautiful. So a happy anniversary to you guys. I had heard, in fact, you sent me an article recently, Steve, that the golf business has been booming actually,
it has.
Lately. Or maybe there's been more people who want to take up the sport.
The industry, the sport has been booming. A lot of people have figured, okay, and it's just a naturally socially distanced sport.
Yes. It's easy to play golf and remain distant. So Little Mill Country Club, if you guys want to help out a local business.
Bullfighting has also taken off.
That is taking off.
The local bullfighting, the Ron Jaworski Bullfighting Centers.
One man, one bull, you know, safe.
But I don't like the sword, so I like the boxing gloves type of bullfighting.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot better, yeah.
All right, Bizarre File time.
Yeah.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Horizon. Schedule now at horizonservices.com. Take $50 off any heating repair. Over the course of 3 years, a former homeowner association president stole $20,000 from the community he served.
That's not good.
That's not a good president. And he used the money to expand his stamp collection and also buy some lawn equipment, according to the police.
I'd like to purchase some stamps and lawn equipment.
Brett Rowe was named the Homeowners Association president of Shady Oaks Pine in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And records show at that time there was about $21,000 in the HOA's Bank of America account.
I think I'll take it.
Police said...
I want some lawn equipment and some stamps.
Police said that there was about $180 left by the time Rowe left the position.
I bought a lot of stamps.
And he refused to show other board members receipts to prove where the money had gone.
No.
No, not going to show. No. The new HOA president who contacted authorities said he was able to find proof that Rowe spent $2,000 on medical expenses, made various ATM withdrawals.
Did not.
Bought $1,000 in stamps.
Yes. I like stamps.
And purchased chainsaws and lawn equipment.
That seems to have diametrically opposed things for a stamp collection and chainsaws.
And
like he never considered Leatherface sitting up in his room doing stamps.
And made purchases at stores and restaurants. Rowe was arrested at his home on charges of theft over $5,000.
Gingerly putting a stamp in the book.
And scheming to defraud.
You guys have an HOA by any chance?
No.
We actually don't, no.
Okay. I'm glad.
Yeah.
We do. I hate some of the rules.
Yeah. Listen,
like what?
It's one of those things where, did you look at the rules before you moved in?
Yeah. Listen, the rules
no
are
No running
rules.
Away clubs. No pine cone collections.
There doesn't say anything about that. But you're not allowed to have a fence unless you have a pool, which means you're allowed to have a fence. You know what I mean?
I know.
But listen,
it's, you know.
So some people can't put a fence up if you don't have a pool in your backyard?
Correct. You're also not allowed to have.
What if you have a dog?
Solar panels. Well, you got to get an electric fence.
You're not allowed to have solar panels?
Nope.
That's Delco.
Yeah,
for
so
you.
These are. No, stop it. But these are things you need to consider if you're going to buy into a neighborhood. If there's a homeowners association, read
that's
it.
That's so weird.
Before you buy.
That's part of the deal.
That's part of the deal. All right, moving on. Police responded to a traffic hazard on a roadway in Baldwin Township. It was reported a small group of teenage youths. We're laying on the center line of the road.
Oh, man.
This whole thing?
The youths were then seen getting up to run to each side of the road. The only description was they had sheets or blankets with them. A second caller indicated they observed youths with sheets or blankets over their heads. And as the caller drove by, the youths ran out and sat down in the middle of the highway.
What movie spawned that? Yeah, it was Varsity Blues?
No.
Or
Friday Night
Lights? Friday Night Lights?
No. It was like a late 80s, early 90s college football movie.
It was
movie.
A football movie.
Yeah,
And people died.
Right. Yep.
They were showing their manliness by laying down on the road and letting cars and traffic drive by, and it was like, woo, they were all excited and stuff. And like immediately people went out and got killed.
Yep.
Doing it. Nick's going to look that information up. By the way, officers responded and the youths had already left the area. Police continued to investigate the matter due to the risky, potentially life-altering behaviors of these youths. Police believe that it was necessary to release an advisory for the safety of the public.
The program, 1993.
The program, that's
it. Yep. It's not unusual for snakes to make their way into people's pipes, prompting a response from animal services. But what about furry, four-legged creatures? That's exactly what one family recently discovered in their bathroom.
There's a bear in our toilet.
Homeowner Lindsay Jones and her husband came across an unknown creature. She said, a pack rat? Maybe a baby raccoon? Definitely not what it was. It was crawling, filthy, and crawling out of the toilet, she said. It was covered in sludge, whatever is down in your pipes.
They just escaped from Shawshank.
there was a mess in the toilet and a rather large furry thing, she said. Jones said it all began when her husband went to take a shower. Said, I heard yelling and screaming from the bathroom to come and take a look and see what was in there. I walked down the hallway, walked into the bathroom. My husband was standing over there and took me to the corner. And there was a black tail right between the laundry behind the laundry basket. And all I did was turn around and run as quickly as I could and shut the door behind me. That's when they called Animal Care Services. Officer Isaac Price said, when I got there, the gentleman told me that he could have sworn he saw the Loch Ness Monster coming out. Price said he guessed the animal had already taken a bath inside the toilet by the time he had arrived, that he found it clean inside the laundry basket, and that is when he recognized it was actually a squirrel.
A squirrel.
Crawled out of the toilet.
Wow.
Price said he captured it using snake tongs and released it back into the wild.
Do you have any of those snake tongs?
he said he looked back and stood up on his hind legs, and then he took off. And that was probably the animal's way of saying thank you, I suppose.
Thank you.
Jones had an
idea. Seriously, thank you all.
He had an idea of where it came from. He said, we think that due to the wind, probably the roof vent, the cover was popped off, and I think the squirrel crawled up into the roof and came down one of the toilet vents, and for some reason
decided
to venture into the toilet itself.
So. You've all been very kind to me. Thank you.
And there you go. That is what we have in this morning's Bizarre File. All right, let's take a break. Come back in a second, and we'll test you on how close you've been paying attention to the show with our lesson question. We have trash music news coming up. By the way, new music from AC/DC tonight on
Yes! Netflix.
I will get you those details coming up in music news. Stay put.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do a lesson question today. A lot of good things that we could ask you. The prize, by the way, $50 dining credit and an overnight stay at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. And, yeah, I could go with a lot of different things here. I want to go with the one late in the show. I've been doing him early in the show. But how about this? Other than Moose, what is Brian Elliott's nickname? 215-263-WMMR. You know what they call him? Other than Moose, what is Brian Elliott's nickname? And let's see if you know the answer. Call now.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's get into it. Steve, what do you have this morning?
Well, Kim Kardashian explaining what really fueled the decision to end Keeping Up with the Kardashians, saying the family decided they needed a break. Kim says you'd be surprised how exhausting it can be to do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Hey! Brooklyn Beckham. Apparently got his fiance Nicole Peltz's eyes tattooed on the back of his neck. Beckham says he originally considered getting her vagina, but realized everyone would think he had an open wound.
Oh.
And finally, Channing Tatum taking to Instagram to post a picture of himself with a rescue puppy he just adopted. The 40-year-old Magic Mike star also took the opportunity to mention that he loves his mother, reads feminist literature, and has a huge penis. And that's a Hollywood Trash.
All righty. We shall see if you've been paying close attention this morning. Well, other than Moose, what is Brian Elliott of the Flyers' nickname? 215-263-WMMR. And I'm going to go to Mike and see if he knows. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. All right. Other than Moose, what do they call Brian Elliott?
Mr. Phone.
Mr. Phone.
Yeah, Mr. Phone.
Hang on, Mike. You'll get a $50 dining credit and an overnight stay Sunday through Thursday only at Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. Winner of 17 Best of Gaming Awards in Casino Player Magazine, including Best Suites, Best Spa, and Favorite Casino Resort. Indoor and outdoor dining is now available, and you can get fall escape rates at the hotel starting at $79. Sunday through Thursday, visit Hard Rock Hotel, AtlanticCity.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
You want to go?
All right. Music News this morning brought to you by Salus University. Salus University offers some of the fastest growing and highest paid health professions in the country, including optometry and audiology. Salus University, the future of health science since 1919. To apply, visit salus.edu. Despite passing back in 2017, AC/DC's late guitarist Malcolm Young has likely played a big, when I said passing, I meant passing on. He died, yeah. Big part of the band's upcoming album, Power Up. NME posted the band's longtime engineer, Mike Fraser, appeared on the ACDCFans.net podcast and revealed, said, I think Angus kind of came into this with a lot of ideas and riffs, but not too many completed songs. But that was similar on Rock or Bust, because him and Malcolm had written tons of songs before Mal got sick and eventually passed away.
So did Malcolm come back as a ghost?
No, but Fraser went on to say that Angus has plenty of material left behind from his older brother.
Oh.
He's got a whole treasure trove of ideas and riffs and all that. He's probably spent a few years before we came to the studio to do this record pooling ideas together and all that.
So they had a lot of resource.
And then when he came in, he just sat down with a whole suitcase full of little demo things that he had done. And he and Brendan O'Brien, who produced the record, would sift through all the ideas and say, hey, that's great. That's a really good song. Let's put that riff on there. Tonight, by the way, the new song will be played in its entirety. Jackie Bam Bam and Brent Porsche are going to have it at midnight.
Oh, that's a perfect time and a perfect duo to unleash that.
Yep.
Hey, this might be a really stupid question slash observation, but the lightning bolt that AC/DC has in the middle of the AC and the DC is the exact same lightning bolt as the Gatorade lightning bolt. Oh. Does anybody have...
That's with intent.
Well, no, I'm curious as to, like, if you can own or copyright a shape like that.
Well, the band AC/DC has always been a fan of electrolytes.
Okay.
And that was always essential to their music. So
that's
a
good question.
I think you...
It might be the logo of the band completely encompassed with the AC and DC, you know.
There was a dispute a few years ago between the W in the Washington Nationals and the W in Walgreens. They were way too similar. And it's copywritten material. I just don't know how persnickety some people get on these types of
things. And they were upset because thousands of fans were showing up at pharmacies.
Yeah. What in baseball?
Yeah. It is interesting what, for example, like the smiley face. You know, there was...
Yeah, who owns it?
But there is somebody who owns it. Yeah. But like the heart, the romantic Valentine's heart.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's, you know, there are nuances to it that allow it to be... Copyrighted, I
customized
guess?
And trademarked. Yeah. All right. James Hetfield revealed that having his world slow down in the wake of the pandemic hasn't been the worst thing for him personally. And of course, he prefaced it by saying COVID is certainly not welcomed. The pandemic is not welcomed. People are hurting and people are dying. And there's lots of people struggling, really, really struggling with funds wherever they're living. They can't afford things anymore.
Yeah.
Lives are changing drastically, so I don't mean to sound cold about it, but for me personally, it's been really helpful to slow down, stop the work, stop the circus of what's going on with touring and really, you know, the band and all that stuff. Family struggles as well, so it's good to have time to just be, said to not have to have an agenda, but to just chill, soak up on life's terms, and to plug into my community here in Colorado.
And he says it's allowed him time to catch up on his Young Sheldon episodes.
Mm. He's got to be happy about
Big
that. Big fan. Hetfield revealed. I got a throat bubble. Hetfield revealed that the extended time off forced him to break his usual routine of how he dealt with family life outside of the band. He said, that's definitely one thing that's been difficult for me and to have in the past because of coming and going every few weeks, not really being able to plug into any communities or say, hey, let's do this once a week or get together and barbecue or have a cigar pit or whatever. Those weekly things that people get to do. I was not able to do those, and now I am. And I've built a really cool community of friends, true, unconditionally loving friends. And I would not have had that if I didn't have this time.
Let me ask you this. So I'm a creature of ritual and habit and, you know, different times for different things. And I want things just so a lot of ways. And I know that's probably a lot of it of the just my makeup.
Right.
When things change, it throws me off. And there are other people who can just sort of, you know, flow in and out. How would you classify yourself?
More structured.
Yeah.
Loosely structured, but
does stuff start caving in on itself if you fall out of your routine?
No, not that.
I think I'm more inclined to have that happen.
But I have my closest friends who are, hey, we found this cool thing. Let's go do it. You know, and or hey, this we found out that this is going on this week. Let's go.
Right.
You know, they're a little more spontaneous than we are, and I like it because I get to. Go along with they have great ideas of things to do.
They convince you to go do that, yeah.
I'm like, how did you find out about that? Don't you guys have friends that are like, how'd you find out about that?
My friends tend to hang out. They're gang. They're in a gang, and they hang out in the subway.
Yeah.
And, I remember.
Well, you went away to school.
To prep school, and I got back there, and they had really become bad.
This is the theme of the entire day.
And they didn't think that you were bad?
They thought I was not bad.
They thought he was nothing.
No.
Yeah. He ain't bad. He ain't nothing.
But I had to prove that they were wrong.
Actually, they thought they were bad and they weren't nothing.
That was a big question. We were arguing over who was thinking who was bad, and then we had to clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
Did they check with the stenographer?
They did.
Okay. And?
Turns out we're all bad.
Oh.
really, really bad.
You know what I did like about that video is the guy on roller skates who
was
doing the splits and pulls himself up.
That's how you know you're bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy was definitely bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was not nothing.
Hitler could do that.
He was something.
Yeah. Hitler could do that.
He was bad.
Watch this.
This is Beat It.
This is Beat It. Do we not even have bad?
Are you so bad you're not playing the right song? We have to have bad.
Doom, 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 doom. Doom, 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 doom. Your butt is mine. Ooh, your butt is mine.
Your butt is mine.
That's the first line, I think, isn't it?
Is that it?
Yeah.
I'm going to spend some time.
Nick, can you look up the lyrics of Bad?
I mean, it's your butt is, or either that or your buddy's mine.
Your ass is mine.
Your buddy's mine.
Your butt is mine.
I think it's your butt is mine.
It is.
Your butt is hot.
It's Dilly Bilotti.
No,
your butt is mine. Gonna tell you right to show your face in broad daylight. I'm telling you on how I feel. Gonna hurt your mind. Don't shoot to kill.
And when you go away to work, your kids are left at home.
Oh, stop it. There it is.
Is it your butt is mine?
Yeah.
Your butt is mine.
Listen to that synthesizer stuff. That
was cutting edge stuff at the time.
Here we go.
Your butt is mine. Don't stay right. Just show your face. Broad daylight. I'm telling you on how I feel.
I liked it better when he didn't do all that.
And if you're really lucky, I'll show you my anus.
Which Let's is just let did. That breathe for a moment.
In Neverland, Finding Neverland, that was one of the more troubling parts.
Okay.
But this is a wonderful video.
Oh, I was talking about James Hetfield and
what's
his
going
time
on with
off.
Him? So, is he savoring his time alone?
He went on to underline the importance of connecting with his bandmates and their weekly online meetings. Sitting there during our weekly Zoom call with the band, Lars talking about being at his home in San Francisco. And he's, you know, he said he's not leaving. He's getting things delivered and how he hasn't been to the grocery store in 4 or 5 months. That just blows my mind.
Is he using Clorox wipes?
He said, I'm really fortunate here. I've got 4 or 5 buddies that come over, barbecue. We go shooting. We go camping. We go fishing. Whatever.
Cigar pits?
There's grocery stores, the Home Depot, all the normal stuff. Very grateful to that. And cigar pits.
Do they watch NASCAR?
They probably watch NASCAR, yes.
Hmm. Do they have jigsaws?
I don't know.
You know. Guys do that.
Machine Gun Kelly.
Yes.
Has hit number one for the first time in his career. And the rapper's new pop punk album, Tickets to My Downfall, secured the number one spot on Billboard 200.
I have to say, I think he's a talented guy. Really? It's very, very Blink 182. And as we said, who's on it? Just Travis Barker on the album?
It's the first rock album to hit number one since Tool's Fear Inoculum last summer.
And it came from Machine Gun Kelly.
You guys hear it at all?
I have, and I like it. I do. It's very Blink 182.
Yes. Steve was commenting on how much he did like that.
So. Oh, I didn't hear you walk in.
No. Yeah. You don't hear him jingling?
Oh!
I've been away at prep school. Yeah. Now I'm back to show you my anus. Make that breathe.
Oh, my God.
No, that, honestly, the guy can rock, and he initially was more hip-hop. But
Yeah, he's a rapper.
I think he's very talented.
Okay.
And I like him.
What was the video you were just showing to me, Nick?
I don't know. It's on his Instagram account. He's got 7 million followers on Instagram.
Oh, it's a cake that looks like a guitar, and he smashes it on a van.
And that's how he's celebrating, yes. Yeah.
Isn't that splashing?
Yeah, the number one. No, well, not on a van. On
it.
Yeah.
Did you hear what he said right before he splashed it on the van?
No, do tell.
He said, guitar!
Oh.
I hate that.
Shinedown has presented a follow-up... Shinedown has presented a follow-up...
Make any sense.
...of check...
I didn't know you were still here.
I never leave.
Of $230,000 to the original $20,000 donation from their COVID-19 fundraiser. The $250,000 total will go to humanitarian aid organization Direct Relief, one of the largest providers of medical resources in the world.
Still funny.
Direct Relief provides personal protection equipment to frontline health workers responding to COVID-19. So they're making a nice donation. It is good. How about this? Led Zeppelin was handed a major league victory with Rolling Stone reporting the U.S. Supreme Court announced it will not hear the copyright dispute over the band's 1971 song Stairway to Heaven.
Not going to hear it.
The decision upheld a recent Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that found the Zeppelin classic did not infringe on the band Spirit's 1968 instrumental track Taurus. The song in question was written by the late Randy California, whose given name was Randy Craig Wolf.
Quick
so
question.
This went to the U.S.
Supreme Court.
Supreme Court.
Yep. That's right.
Yep.
You know, it was Ronald Reagan himself that argued the Ghostbusters Ray Parker Jr. case.
I didn't know that. Against Huey Lewis?
Yep.
Had no idea. Francis Malefi, the lawyer for Michael Skidmore, the trustee of the Randy Craig Wolf Trust, was disappointed by the ruling. The dispute over Stairway to Heaven had made its way last September to the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeal in San Francisco before an 11-judge panel, which ruled the suit could proceed to the Supreme Court.
Shake it off, pussy.
The new reporting sees several options for still moving forward in his dogged attempt to win a piece of the Stairway copyright, explained Malefoy. He laid out two possible paths forward. He said, appeal to a panel that comprises all the judges on the Ninth Circuit, as opposed to just a cross-section, or potentially appeal to the Supreme Court.
Could they not, if they were so inclined, declare war on the United States, beat us, install their own government,
yes,
and then
get the credit?
Yes.
Yeah. He said he is still considering which of these two options to pursue. Man, at some point, give it up, dude.
I thought that they had had some sort of...
It's Stairway to Heaven.
I know. They had some sort of legal traction. Did they get anywhere on this case, anywhere in the world? In other words, if something holds up, for example, in England, obviously not beholding to our Supreme Court ruling, didn't they have another? They've claimed that Stairway to Heaven was a ripoff of a couple of, or a couple of people have come at them,
yeah,
with these lawsuits.
If it's at least being considered by the Supreme Court, it's taken this long to get that far, which means that he had a case. He just lost it.
Yeah.
You loser.
All right. And
maybe it's time to look at the man in the mirror.
That's a good song. That's probably the best Michael Jackson song.
It is a good song.
That people don't love as much as they should.
They should.
Wait, the best Michael Jackson song that people don't love as much as they should.
It's a list I just created.
Yeah. So what's number two on that list?
It's an honor to read the best song for people that they should like, but they don't, but they should.
Ben. Ben is number two on that list.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It's my list. It's
no,
in my head.
It's your list. Yeah,
the winner for best song that people should like, but they don't think they should, but they should.
According to me.
According to Nick.
Thank you.
Man in the Mirror. What is such a surprise? Oh, my God. I was sitting there trying to do a Venn diagram to figure out what the category meant, and I won it.
Congratulations.
Number three on that list?
Oh, man. Oh, probably something off a Thriller. Maybe Off the Wall.
Another way of saying it would be an underrated Michael Jackson song.
No. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Okay, no, it's your list. I'm sorry, man.
Jeez.
I
can't believe it.
You won.
I won. And I don't even know what it's for.
I know what number three is. Dirty Diana.
Dirty Diana.
Yeah. Steve Stevens on guitar.
Mm-hmm.
That's Darren Stevens is married to Samantha.
No. Steve Stevens.
Darren Stevens.
Steve Stevens. Guitars for Billy Idol's.
Yeah. That is a great... Man in the Mirror is a great song.
There's only three songs on the list.
Yeah. Your whole list is three? Yeah. Okay.
We're now closing this award category. It's like 3 years into the Cecil B. DeMille Award. That's it.
We're done. Giving those out.
All right. Today's last year we'll be presenting Best Picture Awards.
All right. Last bit of information... Rocktober Madness continues, brought to you by Horizon Services. 1:30 Pierre Robert, 11:30, I'm sorry, Pierre Robert, his first matchup, then 1:30, and then 3:30 and 5:30. The band's facing off today. Wow, The Who against Dave Matthews Band.
Gonna have to go with The Who.
Me too. Thank you, Michael. Then you have AC/DC against Smashing Pumpkins.
AC/DC.
Followed by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers against the Allman Brothers.
This one's a chin scratcher.
And
chin scratcher.
A chin scratcher.
Yeah, I love the Allman Brothers, but Tom Petty, mm-hmm. Come on.
Your finger can actually get stuck in that cleft in there.
Absolutely.
So be careful, okay?
And then a lot of times, last time I was scratching my chin and my nose fell off and hit my finger. I was scratching too hard.
And then the last matchup will be Rush and Nine Inch Nails.
So Nine Inch Nails, very innovative, but a Rush. That's, again, do not be swayed by our take.
I'm just saying.
Just going to win the whole thing.
In the documentary Beyond the Lighted Stage. Trent Reznor is all over that talking about how awesome Rush is. He's a big part of that.
So you figure it out, jerk off.
Horizon Services, our sponsor. All right, thank you. And before we take a break, I do want to thank 3J's Market in Fishtown and Northern Liberties.
Family owned and operated.
And they brought by, I just had it, it was called The Flame. That's why I was walking around here singing the Cheap Trick song earlier.
Oh!
It's How was it?
It was great.
It looks sensational.
It's spicy.
Yeah. Is it?
I'm not. The spicy stuff kind of drives me away a little bit. It's right on the edge of where I would probably say no, but it's great.
All right. That's the sandwich I made when I was there.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah. It just looks fantastic.
And they have the flame comes with Dietz and Watson gourmet roasted chicken breast, pepper jack cheese, romaine lettuce, green pepper avocado, and spicy chipotle mayo. It's quite tasty.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, in Fishtown and Northern Liberties, 3J's.
See you later, Michael.
Bye, everyone.
I don't believe
put into Bill's office.
I don't believe that he's leaving.
I'm gonna play with his blowgun.
Okay, we're gonna. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
We're gonna take a break, and we're gonna come back in a moment, and we'll get ready to wrap it up. So make sure you stay with us.
WMMR.com, a great way to stay up to date on the latest rock news and station happenings. Listen live via your laptop, the free mobile app, or just tell your smart speaker to play MMR. From Preston and Steve's Daily Rush to Pierre's Weekend Calendar and the latest on Jackson's Local Shots, it's everything that rocks your computer.
Let me see. A few thank yous to do on today's program, but before all that, actually, we have Tattoos Day.
Oh,
prize.
That's right. Yeah. Lucky recipient.
Yeah, so I want to thank everybody who texted in, and I want to congratulate Luciano Di Giacomo.
Hey! It's going to be a nice tattoo, right?
Luciano is from Pottstown, and Luciano gets $350 gift certificate, Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. And you
It's a great name.
You can see them, by the way, at 1729 South Street in Philly. Or if you just want to take a look at their artwork and samples and all that, floatingworldtattoos.com. Or you can check them out on Instagram at Floating World Tattoos. Thank you also to Al's Corner Deli and 3J's Market. And our friends at Dietz and Watson for being here today, dropping off hoagies for us this morning. You can get in your takeout order today from your local Real Philly Deli and support local business. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939. Good food, man. We appreciate it. Also want to thank our guest, Keith Coogan.
Yes!
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, Adventures in Babysitting, Toy Soldiers, a bunch of great movies throughout the years. He was a nice guy. He had a bad phone line, unfortunately, but it was a nice conversation. Thank you to Brian Elliott.
Hey!
Speaking of phones, Mr. Phone.
Mr. Phone.
Was
known in the NHL as Mr. Phone.
Yeah, he had a great phone line, so his name now is Mr. Phone. I just signed a contract extension with the Flyers, which is cool. And thank you to Oaks Fegley, who was great. Hey! Young man from Allentown. He's the kid star of this movie called War with Grandpa. The grandpa is played by Robert De Niro. Christopher Walken is in it. Cheech Marin is in it. Jane Seymour. Uma Thurman. There's a lot of people. And he and his brother are right close by, and they're on their way, man.
I think they're doing great. Yeah, they're definitely making some ripples.
That movie opens on Friday, by the way, which is cool. So it was nice spate of guests this morning.
Yes, and also, I mean, I don't know if he's still here, but if he's still here, we should thank Michael Jackson for
For being here.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Nice for him to come in.
Never a problem.
Pierre Robert has sauntered in. Hey, man.
Good day.
How you doing?
Who played Grandpa on The Waltons?
I don't know.
He's a
Will God. Was his name. Will
Garrison or something.
I'll look it up while you guys are chatting.
He was a character actor
for
years.
A long time. Yeah.
Will Gear. His name. Yes.
Okay. He played Grandpa on The Waltons.
Right.
The Waltons was a show where John Boy was.
Right, Richard Thomas.
Right.
And Ellen Corby.
And Michael and the father Learned. Was Ralph something?
Ralph Wiggum.
Why are you pointing this out?
Because you mentioned Grandpa.
Oh.
And they had a Grandpa.
Your guest had some played a Grandpa.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah. It's called War with Grandpa.
Right.
And oddly enough, Keith Coogan, our first guest on was on the Waltons.
Well,
yep. That's exactly why I mentioned
it. So I knew it was all coming back around.
I used to really enjoy the Waltons up on Walton Mountain, and they would all say goodnight at the end of the show.
The goodnights at the end of the show, there was something,
sweet.
Sweet and, maybe a little.
They'd always catch John Boy in mid-self-pleasuring.
Oh, my God.
Good night, John Boy.
What's that noise, Daddy?
I'm flapping.
Up on Walton's
Mountain. Up on Walton
Mountain. Oh, you know the theme. You know what? There are not enough good themes anymore.
They go right to the show. You get like 2 seconds of...
Right. There are not enough good TV show themes and even commercial themes. Because now commercials all rely on rock songs, where back in the day, rock bands were absolutely unwilling to let any brand, buy their music. But... So we had catchy commercial jingles.
And you don't have that.
We don't have those anymore.
You know where you still get theme songs?
Where?
Cartoons. My daughter and I started watching, even though the show is come and gone, a show called Gravity Falls. And it's got a great little theme song to
it.
So I kind of like that now, that I still get to hear some theme songs every now and then. But you got to watch a cartoon in order to do that. Yeah.
Okay.
But I know what you're saying. Theme songs used to be the thing, dude.
You know what I'm saying, Kathy?
Yes, I do. Well, it's because people skip through it now. You can skip right through the intro to any show.
Oh, that's right.
The button pops up.
That's true. You know what? Actually, now a lot of shows do have, not necessarily song, but a musical interlude of sorts right at the very beginning. And then you have the option. It'll say skip if you're watching on Netflix or one of the streaming services.
They retrofit some of the shows I was on. What channel? One of the multitudes of streaming services now, and I was watching old episodes of the Beverly Hillbillies, and you can skip the theme song.
You don't skip the theme
song. No, you don't skip
the theme song. It's a story, for crying out loud.
Listen to my story.
That's right.
A man named Jed. He's
poor mountaineer, barely catch the strategy.
Then one day he was shooting for some food. Up from the ground comes a bubbling crude. That's oil, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the kinfolk said,
First thing you know, that's exactly what I meant.
Yes.
Kid folks said, Jed, move away from here.
And they said, California, that's the place you got to be. So they load up the truck and move. Beverly, dang, 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 dang.
Hills, that is. Swimming pools. Movie stars. The Beverly Hillbillies.
Brought to you by Kellogg's of Battle Creek.
All right, do the outro.
Okay, and now it's time to thank you all for kindly stopping in. Sam, come on back to be with us again.
That's time. Thank you, folks, for all finally dropping
locality.
In. Jed and all his kin.
Ken.
I can't remember.
I'd like to thank you, folks, for kindly dropping in.
You're all invited back next week to this locality to have a heaping helping of their hospitality. Hills. Ooh, that is. No.
It's still Hills.
No, something else.
Hospitality.
Hills.
You think you're bad?
Come on back, y'all. Take your shoes off. Set a spell.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
You hear?
That's right.
This has been a Phil Wayne's presentation.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Three of us have dated ourselves.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And anyone below 30 is going, what the hell are they talking about?
They tuned out a long time ago. Yeah.
They did. Well,
it's crazy you guys are talking about this yesterday because I came across something after the show yesterday. Eddie Vedder is a huge fan of TV theme songs. And in fact, he created.
No.
Yes, he did.
I didn't know this.
No, I swear to God. Wow. No, huge fan. And he did his own album of old theme songs.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. I have a cut here.
Yeah.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
Wow.
But not be right for you. May not be right for two. My man is born. A man of means, been a long come too. They got nothing but jeans, but they got different strokes it takes. Different strokes move the world.
That's great.
Now everybody's got a special kind of story. Everybody finds a way to shine. It don't matter that they got not a lot. So what if there's, you have yours and I'll have mine.
And together we'll be fine. Just today, different strokes move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes move the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very.
For some reason, I don't remember ever hearing
that. Is that out now?
Has that ever aired before on this show?
He literally recorded it yesterday.
Oh,
wow.
Because
how did you get it so quickly?
I'm a producer. I've been doing what I do for 22 years, so I have my. But
dude, you're connected. Hear that, Nick?
There was some sort of an announcement that was going to be made, and I think this was supposed to go.
We got to it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Scoop.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope he does more.
I do too.
Yeah,
God,
Robert
please.
Plant was a huge
no
fan.
Way.
Yes. No, he really was. He was a huge fan of theme songs.
Robert Plant.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I swear to God. And so he recorded this. We could probably fast forward just a little bit.
I didn't get this record. It's a little scratchy, though, for a CD.
We could probably fast forward just so I think this might be it.
First 10 minutes.
Just sit right back in your hair. A tale of a fateful trip. This started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
Oh, my God.
The mate was a mighty sailing lad. The skipper brave and sure.
We're going to get the letter there in a minute.
Five passengers set sail that day for a three-hour tour. A three-hour tour. It makes me wonder.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's we don't have time for the whole thing.
I want to hear it all tomorrow.
I do, too.
That made me almost cry.
We need to do the letter of the day. It's almost
11. Did we do that?
No, we didn't do it.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
R as in Ricky.
Okay, R as in Ricky. And we're giving away a $300 Red Robin gift card. Yum.
Right,
how,
Ricky.
How you want, whether it's dine-in, delivery, to-go, or outdoor heated tents.
Oh!
Red Robin, yum. Gift card only valid at the 21 Red Robin locations in Eastern and Central PA, owned by the Lehigh Valley Restaurant Group. You can visit redrobinpa.com for more information. What's happening on the show today, man?
Well, we've got workforce blocks of the Who. No, wait a minute. We've got Rocktober Madness of the Who versus Dave Matthews Band at 11:30, and then AC/DC Smashing Pumpkins at 1:30. Workforce blocks of Janis Joplin, The Killers, and Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Nice. By the way, I love your shirt. It was it for that last concert, Forever Yellow Brick.
Concert, yeah.
Brick Road.
That's one of my favorite album covers of all time.
Elton John,
and
yeah.
The other day, 2 days ago, was the anniversary of its release.
Wow.
Monday,
okay.
I think, yeah.
Cool. Mm. All right, let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, and Primo Hoagies. It's not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. PrimoHoagies.com. Tomorrow on the show, it's Wednesday, Fox Good Day, secret text word, and we'll have on the program, turns out she's a fan of the show, Beverly Goldberg.
Yay! Wow.
Not Wendy McClovin, who played, or wait, Wendy.
Wendy McClendon Covey.
That's
Wendy
it.
Wendy McClovey Goldberg.
I always mess up her name. Who plays her on TV. No. Mrs. Goldberg, Beverly Goldberg, is going to be on the show tomorrow.
She's been on the show herself a number of times.
So we are going to chat with her. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Running late on my way to work. Thought I'd attempt the comeback of the year, and I spilled coffee all over my goddamn car.
Next message.
I just wanted to say that I love you guys. I'm the winner of last week's Tattoo Day giveaway. I've literally been entering this contest since it was first born with that first glorious thing, too. I'm just so thankful of you guys because without this, I would not be able to afford my dream tattoos. Literally been dreaming of this tattoo for years. And even more special, it's going to include the first initials of everyone in the show, so... Thank you so much. You guys rock, and I love you.
Next message.
Actually, in hindsight, a car full of coffee isn't that bad. F*** it. I'm going home.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.